The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to schedule one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped, like in a bottle?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and Happy New Year to all our listeners around the globe. I hope everyone had a safe night last night. We didn't lose anyone, you know?
Well, we didn't. I'm sure somebody did.
Yeah, well.
There was like a seven-car pileup on 95 that was pretty severe.
It was a bad week for my church, actually.
Really?
We lost a few people in our congregation. Yeah. People who've been like in there for a long time.
Yeah, lost like tragically or just old?
Just old.
Just they were sick. Okay.
They had their run.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good story.
Unbelievable. It's just my getting eaten by a lion would have been a good story.
Unlike most, my New Year's resolution was not to be a better person.
Apparently not.
All right, well, we're here at Gillette Stadium on a Wednesday, and we're working.
No one else is. In fact, many on Twitter are wondering why we're working.
But it's a normal
day. Patriots are, that's why.
It's a normal day for the Patriots players and coaches. They're all here, and we're here. Ushering in the new year on PFW in Progress. We're going to set new standards here, new highs this year for listenership. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll do that.
I have a guess it's not going to be bolstered by today.
No.
Well, yeah.
This is more for download later in the week when you do get back to work.
Oh, they did a show?
I might as well listen. Sure. What'd they say about Billy O going to the Texans?
Well, that was announced I guess early this morning that he had agreed to terms with the Texans.
From Cape Cod?
Former offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, now the Texans coach. And
from beyond all the you like him, blah, 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 as a Patriots fan for a team that was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender, are you worried about Bill O'Brien going to Houston? Is he a challenge on the horizon?
I think the team is. I mean, they've got the first overall pick. You know, they're a quarterback away from really being a good team, I think. And so, yeah, I think they're going to be a threat just like we thought they would be this year.
But more so or less so with him than somebody else they could have hired?
I don't know.
Well,
it depends
on who the somebody else
exactly.
was. But my guess would be more so because I think he's a pretty good
coach.
Me too.
Yeah. And we know that familiarity with the Patriots system sometimes leads to success for
the
other teams.
We've seen that in the past. That's not just a thought. That's a fact.
So. Yeah.
But I look
careful
at
what you wish for. He gets Jadeveon Clowney number one, gets a quarterback, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, look at how quickly Indianapolis. I mean, they just, you know, it looked like that.
And they were a playoff team last year.
That it had all come apart, and they got the quarterback. They got a coach in there that knew what he was doing, and they've been now 2 years in a row. You know, they proved this year that last year wasn't a fluke. It wasn't just all about rallying around Chuck Pagano. They were pretty good, and I think Houston, like Eric said, they were 11-1 that Monday night game. They came here 11-1. They're 3-17 since. Mm. This talent there, they just fell apart. And, you know, maybe they needed a guy at the top. And I think he's a good coach. I agree with Andy. I think that he makes them a potential team next year to worry about that you didn't have to worry about this year.
He certainly went to Penn State and did more than people thought record-wise mm-hmm. that he'd be able to do.
And could have done more.
Yeah.
What did they lose, 2 games because of the kicker early in the last year?
His first year. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, he could have had a ridiculous first season
start,
there.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, his next job is not going to be any harder than dealing with all the crap all throughout the whole Penn State. The one thing I told to you guys, though, you know, where stories are coming out, there was a really good story in Penn Live or something this morning.
PennLive.com.
Column, and a guy had actually talked to Bill a month ago, I think he said, in a long drive. They're both driving and sort of sat on the quotes and didn't really use, because he knew O'Brien was venting.
Yeah.
But basically he was, you know, he hates the Paterno backers, F them.
I don't blame him.
And I don't either. But he shouldn't be telling a columnist that, and he shouldn't say so much to a columnist that he then finishes by texting him and saying, thanks for listening.
Thanks for letting me vent.
That concerns me a little bit. I know for a fact he listens to, like, sports talk radio, or has in the past. That is my one concern with him, that maybe he's a little too aware and sensitive to the public perception.
Sure.
That might bother me.
He comes from the Pioli camp rather than, you know, the Belichick camp, I think. Pioli was really sensitive to everything that
you
was
think?
Written, you know?
Good Lord.
So, and Belichick still might, but he never reacted to it, you know?
Yeah, I'm not as worried as much about the sensitivity as I am the volatility. I think that he can be a little bit, you know,
I like that.
Paul-like.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
I mean, obviously that's the way I am. I sort of spout, but...
See, I have no problem if he does it to a player or in a press conference or to a coach. I don't want him doing it in a long car ride home to a columnist.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be when it's
nothing
a long,
good comes from that.
But when it's
yeah,
a
but
long,
down there, all you got to do is John McClain just writes what.
Well,
you want
he's already in the team. Yeah, he's right. Already in the team's pocket. He couldn't get any deeper in the team's pocket right. than he is.
But like you look at a situation like what happened on the sideline in Washington. The, you know, the famous
Brady.
That's the heat of the game. That's the emotion of the moment. Long car ride home shouldn't be the emotion of the moment. You know what I mean?
Also, that makes me want to punch my fist through this windshield.
Also, don't text and drive.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. So,
but I'm rooting for him. I like him. I'm rooting for him. I think he could be the most successful of the tree.
Okay.
Although he's a little different offshoot of the tree because he was his own man before he
got here.
Yeah,
he's not really part of the tree. I mean, he's part of the
he's
tree.
Part of it, but I know what you mean.
But not
Paul,
you know,
laying
saying?
The foundation for not
he
giving
was a coordinator,
any credit
he was
to
already
a Belichick disciple.
First
success.
Of all, what does that help Belichick? What does that do for Belichick? Belichick's the greatest. He doesn't need these guys. Because Eric Mangini failed doesn't make me think any less of Bill Belichick as a coach. I mean, that,
could.
I think that's
you could take that into consideration.
But I think that this
the way
guy,
the Bill Walsh, trained the offshoots and he didn't.
But I think
well,
the
but
reason
you
I
could
think
say that,
that
Mangini, I'm sorry, Paul.
No, go ahead.
You could say that Mangini didn't wait nearly as long as some of the Walsh disciples did. You know, he might have been. It would have been way premature for him to have been hired when he was.
Right, but they all failed. Charlie failed. Well, Romeo failed twice. Mangini failed twice. McDaniels failed once.
Yeah, I
Grinnell.
Twice.
Yeah. The new year's off to a good start.
New year looks a lot like the old year. Fred doesn't
Weiss.
Listen.
He goes
Mangini.
Weiss.
Well, Weiss might be coaching some local high school by the end. He's going
but
way
I
down.
But I think that, you know, with Mangini specifically and McDaniels specifically.
Oh, sorry.
Those two guys specifically, Mangini and McDaniels, those are the two younger guys that went. They clearly just... I think, tried to emulate Bill. They tried to beat Belichick. They tried to run everything the way Belichick does. I'm not going to talk to this, you know, I'm not giving you anything. I'm going to walk around like I have all the answers and it's my way. This is this. I don't think O'Brien is that type. I don't think he's going to sit there and say, I'm going to do this exactly like Belichick did. Because I think, like Andy said, he's not really from the Belichick tree. He's a different part. Now, there's no way he would have gotten a chance to have these jobs if not for his work in New England.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
His work in New England put him on the national landscape to get the Penn State job. But he was already a successful coordinator at the collegiate level before he got here.
Right.
And I think that those are whatever the principles that he has as a coach were founded elsewhere. And I don't think that he necessarily looks at having to do it as the head guy the way Bill did. And I think that's what Mangini and McDaniels did, and that was their failing because I think you have to win before you can do that.
Who did he work under in college? Who was the Georgia Tech coach?
I think it was George O'Leary, right?
Yeah.
Oh. We didn't fudge his resume like O'Leary.
But even down to
isn't that where George Godfrey came?
Yeah,
from?
Yes, that's right. George
Godfrey. He coached George.
Yeah, George was his quarterback, right?
But I mean, like when Josh went to Denver, he took it to the extreme with wearing the hoodie and flipping the whistle like Bill always does when he walks around practice.
Which
I don't see O'Brien doing that at all.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't even fit in when he was here to some degree. Mm. Remember him chewing people out on the practice field, yelling at Hernandez and Gronkowski when they were rookies and calling them out? I mean, he had his own balls, as I like to say, immediately.
Right.
But I also think he... What, Paul?
No, I was going to add, just another completely antithesis of Belichick. He had a thing this year on ESPN where it was all access Penn State 24/7. Right.
Well, if you want to go to the true antithesis
Belichick
of Belichick,
do that?
He liked us.
Well,
right. Which doesn't bode well for him.
No, as I said to Andy, every guy that I have, the quote-unquote guys, none of them are very successful.
I'm surprised you haven't already gotten the call to come down to Houston and head up his
PR. I told him I'd go to Penn State. I'd be British for him at Penn State.
Oh, but, yeah?
Yeah. He started laughing.
Yeah. Oh.
Can you do the job from Everett?
Yeah, I would need to do it from Peabody. Ridiculous. It could have been
Maybe
Peabody.
He could relocate all your family, all your extended family, down to Houston. Would you do it then?
No.
If you brought all your relatives with you?
Who the hell wants to
you?
Live in Houston? No offense, Jamie.
Everything's 40 minutes away.
Everything is 45 minutes drive.
I am interested when the money comes out, what he's making, and how the buyout and all sort of
I'm interested in that, too.
Are you surprised that Penn State was willing to, it seems, lower their...
I finally got a read on that last year. That happened last year.
Oh, it did.
They lowered it from like 18 to 6 or some pretty massive chunk.
Major chunk.
Part of it was he leveraged NFL interest. He
last offseason?
Because he interviewed with Cleveland and Philadelphia.
Yep.
He kind of parlayed that into, I'll come back, but if I'm coming back, you got to do something for me. And he basically, that was how I've seen that portrayed lately. Because I had been asking, everybody said he went to the school and renegotiated his buyout. Well, what did he give the school for the school to give up the $10 million or the 12? And now apparently it was he sort of just leveraged. There's interest in me. I could leave right now. I'll come back to you. I'm not going to be a one and done. But you need to do something for me.
So they were that committed to keeping him there for one more year. Even.
Well, I think they just. I mean, from their perspective, you couldn't have a guy be one and done, could you? I mean, that just fuels the extension of the whole circus atmosphere of the campus.
I certainly would have. I mean, you could certainly argue that, okay, whoever had taken the job was only going to be there a short time because, A, he's coming off, following a legend in Paterno and also following the scandal and how it ended.
Right.
So you kind of would have expected there to be a short-term
person
anyway.
But one and done, like for recruiting, you're coming off the scandal, so you already have a major black mark on your recruiting, and then you're a one-and-done coach. I think it would have been really difficult to try to even continue to stay above water.
I think 2 years is still pretty quick.
It is. No, it is. It is.
Well,
and the one problem I have with him is if he legitimately on Saturday told a kid, no, I'm not going anywhere, I'll be there, when a month earlier he told this columnist they're going to be looking for a new coach in a month, I don't like the direct lying. The actual, as of Saturday, I'm not going anywhere.
And you don't know that.
No, I don't.
In terms of what he did to players. But I agree with Andy and Eric.
But I mean, there is that one kid who said, as of Saturday, he told me he would be there. Don't listen to this stuff.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
That's snaky.
That's the stuff I don't like. And I understand that, at that level of athletics, and I consider that, just like I would the pros, that major college level. There's an element of lying that sort of has to go on, but to me, when you're dealing with the recruits, like that Tommy Tuberville story that they always tell, that he was actually at dinner with recruits, and then he found out he was going to Cincinnati.
He got up
to take a phone call, and he never came back. He's at dinner.
Oh, my God.
He was at dinner with two recruits. He got up, took a phone call, realized it was his agent telling him, we're all set, you're going to Cincinnati. He never went back to the table.
That's unbelievable.
Like, I don't really think that you need to do that.
Wow.
But, what are you going to do?
It's slimy.
You know what happens is the slimy guys probably succeed more because they tell people what they want to hear, and the good guys who wouldn't do that don't do as well because they're not doing business is being done.
Right. All right, well, so he's doing that, and of course we touched on Josh McDaniels still being rumored in Cleveland, but now reported, but there's now also reports that he's just not going to take it.
Oh, I didn't see that report.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I heard that. I heard that yesterday too.
Yeah.
Has he already interviewed?
No.
Well, then why is he interviewing if he's not going to take it?
Well,
and if he's not interviewed, how does he know he's not going to take it?
That's just what I heard.
From who?
I forget who it was.
I forget who, yeah.
I saw something yesterday, though, along those lines. If he was offered the job, he was.
It was either like Jason Lockenfour or one of those types of guys.
Because I thought Lockenfour last night tweeted that he was one of three. Yeah. It was him, Quinn, and one other guy or something that were like the hot final candidates. Why would you interview if you're not gonna
see what they have to offer? You know, but
why would you go in with the obvious intention of not taking it?
Well,
don't you go in with an open mind?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, blow me away.
Yeah, I'm not buying that story. Either he's not going to go through the process,
right?
And that's why he's not interested. That could be true. Or if he's going to go through the process, I don't think he's already decided. There's nothing I'm not taking.
Well, it could be a bad report.
They tell you it's not a bad thing to just do the interview.
But
just,
he's done them.
You know?
He's done them.
Yeah. That's the thing. If it was a first-time guy, first-time candidate, then I would say the experience is worth it. He's had the experience.
Would be amazing, though, if he were to take it, how many times Cleveland has gone to the Belichick tree.
Right. So the guy they hate.
You know? It is kind of funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
We it's hate
Mangini,
him, but we want him
Crennel,
back.
Him.
Yeah. You love the one you hate. Yeah. You hate the one you love.
Yeah. And all these other openings, I don't know. I mean, you know, the big names, Gruden said he's not going anywhere, and he shouldn't. I mean,
I get an idea.
Well,
McDaniels goes there for a year.
Yeah,
you know my theory about Bill maybe winding it down a little bit. He goes there the next year to be the president of football operations because it's sort of that unfinished business, that one thing he's never been able to conclude. So it's Lombardi, McDaniels, and Belichick as the triumvirate.
No,
maybe
20 years later
he gets ownership stake because the other guy is going to prison.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. But, you know,
I just like to have fun with these.
It's fascinating to think about, you know. Johnny Manziel.
And then who goes as this?
NFL.com cemented his status as a franchise NFL quarterback. You're buying it?
No.
No.
I don't either. I mean, he had a good game.
No, one game isn't going to do anything for
neither
him.
Team played any defense.
Right.
And it's
we know he's an exciting, dynamic, athletic player, which he proved last night.
What was the score of that game?
52-48. You know, Broncos, Cowboys, like.
he had four passing touchdowns, one running, about 370 yards passing.
Their defense won the game.
You know,
he's a red shirt though, right? So he could leave.
He could probably leave.
Yeah,
I think he should. Yeah, I mean, he showed there were some kinks in his armor this year against certain teams.
He got hurt.
You know, well. Even when he was healthy, he had some problems, you know. Not just
yeah. I mean,
off the
field. I don't follow them, you know, that close. But the last month of the season, he got hurt and his numbers went down a little bit. And I even saw Andy and I were talking about Howard Balzer, who's a contributor to PFW.
Bit of a
tweeted something out saying it was amazing to see, you know, his explosiveness back after a month.
To recover from those injuries that he had.
But you don't get a month off to recover in the pros. I'm like, I thought it was a ridiculous thing. I mean, so he's not allowed to get hurt?
Right.
You know, I mean, if he was hurt, and that's truly why his performance had dropped a little bit. It wasn't like he was bad either. He just wasn't putting 50-plus on the board like you did against Alabama, for example. You know, to me, that cemented. If you want to go to one game, it ain't against Duke. It's against Alabama. When you put, I think he put 40-plus on the board against that. 48.
Last year.
No, this year. They lost, but it was a shootout. Yeah. It's like 49-42 or something like that.
The question, the biggest question, I have questions about his ability, but he didn't, I mean, he's always been a game-changing, gamey, you know, step up to the challenge. He's always had that. I don't know how you could say he cemented his place as a franchise quarterback when, to me, the biggest questions are off the field. You know, sort of his mentality, his leadership, his, I mean, that ESPN story that I read with him and his mother and the drinking and, even the family has fears that he's going to go off the deep end. Like they could get a call that he's dead. He's suicide. Like there was that implication in that story.
He seems unstable.
Yeah, just complete lack of stability.
Oh, he's a cocky kid.
But you can be a cocky kid without your mother thinking you're unstable.
Well, cocky party kid. That's
I mean, this is beyond that. And to say that's the guy that I'm going to put up on my posters and say this is my franchise quarterback. This is the guy I'm taking with a first round pick. He has not answered those questions for me, and I doubt that he has for NFL decisions.
You think he's a QB version of Gronk? Or worse?
Worse.
No, it's worse, yeah. Because I think Gronk is a happy, happy.
Yeah. He's an unstable, unhappy,
guy.
Doesn't want the spotlight.
What's he unhappy about?
I don't know. You should read that story. Google it and read. There's a very good ESPN feature story on him.
The one compares where he's on the cover?
Yeah,
I
believe
magazine?
So. Compares it to his father.
It's really good.
It's a really good story, but would really scare me if I was a guy looking to draft him in the first round.
Hmm. All right. Patriots did have a practice this morning.
Yes.
And there was a attendance report.
Mm-hmm.
Cold off the practice field. It's Eric Scalabrino.
Yeah, cold and getting colder this week.
And getting snowier.
Yes, but they were outside today, and Logan Mankins was the notable absence today. Because, you know, I thought the fact that he went in the game so went back in the game so quickly after he got hurt, because he looked like it was really serious.
Yeah.
And then he came back to the next series and was running around looking great, and then he didn't play the last 5 minutes or so. And Andy and I and Paul were kind of like, is it just that it's the end of the game and they're just being cautious, or did he aggravate it again?
Right.
And he wasn't out there today. Could just be that it's the, you know, the bye week.
Sure.
He's a veteran.
Yeah.
They're just giving him the rest. I'd
and
be stunned if he
wasn't in a walking boot, by the way, in the locker room
right
after the game.
Yeah.
So not altogether surprising that he wasn't there today, but noteworthy nonetheless. Alphonso Dennard and the two rookie receivers who've been hurt, Boyce and
Dobson,
were both were all absent as well. So those four absent. Good news, though, McCourty, who didn't practice at all last week with the concussion, was back out
he
there.
He was back.
Yep.
Okay.
And we have,
Kyle
Orton's little brother.
Yeah, Greg Orton.
He's from Purdue, and his name's Orton.
Yeah, he must be.
They're all related out there. You know how those Midwesterners are.
And a couple of, there was an old lineman, an RJ for
we
an RJ.
We traded an RJ for an RJ.
Who was here earlier
a Dill
this year.
For
RJ Williams.
Mattis.
Mattis.
Did they cut
RJ? We got rid of the pickle, and
that's
yeah.
That's DJ Williams.
DJ Williams.
He's still on the team. RJ Dill.
RJ Dill. This,
these
yeah.
were practice squad moves.
Oh, okay.
Orton, Dill for Mattis, and the linebacker. Reed?
Yes. Forget his first name, but.
I mean, this Orton guy. You know, you look at it and you assume he's an undrafted free agent. Well, he is. In 2009, he was with
the Arena League.
Arena League, UFL, couple
Denver.
Years on the Denver practice squad, was out of football this year. This is his first. Those are the guys, like, A, how do you decide you want him? But B, like, if you're that guy, you're in the playoffs. Like, you could get a Super Bowl ring after having spent all of the year out of football and pretty much thinking, I'm assuming, your career was over. Now you're on the Patriots. You're with Brady catching passes in practice, or at least Mallett catching passes.
Yeah.
You know.
So the
scout team.
The Patriots will practice today, tomorrow.
And Friday.
And Friday.
Mm-hmm. Little surprised at that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I'm thinking Friday ends up getting
next.
Yeah. I think they have two, the quote, two good days of practice.
Right.
Right.
And then they get the Friday.
Plus, it's going to be
14
you know,
inches of snow coming
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be outside for practice.
They're supposed to get a little nor'easter coming
up
here.
The Revs practice field caught my eye again. Like, they were doing that thing where they blow the hot air in and the big black thing just blows up. I just caught it out of the corner of my eye. And I was like, what the hell is that?
A
thing?
Bubble on the field
yeah,
again?
A little like, or a UFO or something.
Just to keep the grass.
Yeah, warm
somewhat
and,
melted.
Yeah, yeah, warm and growing or whatever they do to it.
Yeah. Why not just practice in the bowl? Because you know your next game's going to be here. You know?
It's not big enough. I don't know.
Not big enough?
Well, there's only one. It's only
yeah,
one
yeah,
field down
true.
There anyway. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they're doing stuff to it. I don't know. After that rain, they probably have to replace a lot of those rubber things. Do you think a lot of them washed away?
No, nope, I don't.
Nope. They don't?
Oh, I don't know that they don't. I don't think that they did.
Oh. Okay. I'm just saying there might be some maintenance that needs to be done on the field turf after the flood game.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
The water was all kind of going just down. So, I mean, it's not like there's big waves of water to, like, push the pellets away. Where would they go?
Wherever it drains.
A, it wasn't draining, so you don't have to worry about that.
But when it floods like that, that means it's built up, but then it washes away.
But it doesn't. It's draining down and not out. That's my point.
I'm if no it was field all, turf expert. I don't
if
know.
If there were waves of water.
He seems to know exactly what's going on.
Well, I just observe. It's not that hard.
Well, it's not that hard.
Open your eyes. Like, if there were waves of water going onto that gray stuff and then down a drain in the corner, okay, yeah, pellets would be
there
gone.
There are drains down there.
But the water was basically draining straight down. You're not listening.
Okay.
I know you're hungover. It did, and then it goes down.
Oh.
If you were to squeegee it off, yes, you would lose pellets, but I don't think it was going down.
Okay.
Are you hungover?
Are there holes underneath that it drains into?
There's multi-layers of sand and this and that. There's like five different layers, yeah, that it goes down
into.
So
when you say it drains down, where does it end up going?
In a drainage system.
Underneath?
Yeah.
Directly underneath.
But the black pellets do not go down because the black pellets are bigger than the layers that are beneath them.
Okay.
Good Christ.
All right. I just wonder.
Don't ask me.
Just thought there might be some maintenance that needs to be done after the flood game.
Hope everything I just said is right. Yeah, going to get a release from PR. 50,000 pounds of new black pellets being brought into Gillette Stadium.
Man, it's New Year's Day. No one's here to call you on it.
All right.
Should get, what's his name? Bengston.
Yeah.
You're going to bring in some more black pellets.
If he came, he'd probably get in trouble for coming on the
probably.
Show. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. And Andy gave out the Australian number yesterday. But
it was like 4 a.m.
4 there. In the morning, so no one called in.
And it's also 4 a.m. now, so I won't do it again. Although you should get the Korean number up and running, so those two battling Koreites.
Yeah, I guess we had one guy from Korea that we read his email, and another one who's upset that we didn't. Lance, I guess, from Korea. And he says he's looking for Kyle.
And he says, ning nong ni.
He says, I'm pissed. I've been emailing the show.
What does the fox say?
That's not right.
Have you seen the What Does the Sock Say? The parody of the they say parody. I'm a sock, he says. it's terrible, but it's funny.
I'm pissed, he says. I've been emailing the show for quite some time, and nothing ever gets read on the air. On yesterday's show, Kyle, who is also in Korea like me, writes once, and his email gets read live.
When people say they're in Korea, we just assume it's south, right?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't listen in north.
Right. It would be blocked.
Imagine our show in North Korea.
I'm a pat.
As we go, that Kim Jong-il guy.
He would start the
Ning-yong-yi.
Or as Mita Perel called him, the third.
Is terrible.
I'm a Pats fan since 80. Kyle is a Pats fan since 85. I've been listening for 3 years. Kyle's been listening for 3 months. I dominate in all fan categories, yet I remain pushed into the corner. All jabbing aside, please do me a Casey Kasem and read my name on the air so that Kyle and I may connect. Maybe he finds me on Facebook.
Casey Kasem.
I have not met any Patriots fans in Korea, and perhaps we could meet up and watch the game together. I have the NFL Game Pass. Well, there you go.
La-di-da.
Just reel them in.
Is that the same price globally as it is nationally?
I don't know. My name is Lance Graney. There you go. Happy New Year. You make my Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings awesome. I live in the future, remember.
That's true.
So, Kyle,
if you live in North Korea, you're living in the past.
Look for Lance on Facebook. He's in Korea. You guys can hook up on game day and watch the game together. So,
what do you mean by hook up?
I don't mean it the way you're thinking.
I don't think that's allowed,
Fred,
in Korea.
The way you and only you are thinking.
They have like Christian mingle and like black people meet. They need like where Koreans meet.
KoreanPatsFans.com.
Right.
Do you see Aaron Rodgers addressed rumors of his gayness?
Well, we're talking about that. Miss Jackie actually brought that up on Monday. Evidently, there's rumors afloat about him. And he actually addressed it
on his own radio show.
He
brought it up, too.
I wish he just said, it's none of anyone's business.
Right. He went with the Manti Te'o route. I really, really like women.
Right.
Oh. Far from it.
Right.
But the way it sounds, I didn't hear it. I read a story about it. Sounds like it made it's that wild guy. Is the host of the show. He's a writer. You've seen the name. You've seen
Oscar. And
it's not Oscar. and it sounds like it made him uncomfortable. He didn't bring it up. He didn't ask about it. And then he tried to, like,
Olivia.
And,
I'm sorry.
And he wants to be serious now, Paul.
Yeah.
I did think it was funny he brought it up on his own radio show
unsolicited.
Unchallenged, unsolicited on anything. So clearly he was reading the rumors.
Oh, it was a big thing on Monday. We were talking about it as we were waiting to go in the locker room. And I hadn't heard anything about Rodgers. Remember like Troy Aikman?
Right.
They used to talk about Troy Aikman all the time.
I could see that.
But I had never really heard anything about Rodgers.
Fred, you're the expert in this area. Do you see it with Aaron Rodgers?
Not necessarily, no.
He's not a receiver.
Right.
Only receivers.
Right. But he should have said it's none of anyone's business.
Well, why
couldn't he just say whatever he wanted to say? Why does he have to say what you tell him?
Well, because if you say if you get defensive, it means being gay is bad.
Right.
And that's the writer actually followed up with a question that kind of wanting to say it's not bad to be gay. You're just saying you're not gay, kind of.
Right.
You know, because that is the connotation. But that's what they need. By they, I mean the gays. They need, if Aaron Rodgers comes out, that's huge.
Oh, yeah.
That's way better
That would be huge.
You know, the backup offensive lineman who played for the 49ers five years ago.
There were supposed to be four of them that were going to come out.
Well, one of those
season.
Was Kerry Rhodes. There is no doubt in my mind Kerry Rhodes is being blackballed out of the NFL, or he believes, because he's gay. And there's been stories you can find online about this, just tracking it down. And remember the pictures of him with his assistant, and he's like hugging him and holding him on the beach in the waves.
Like, why are you laughing? Apollo?
Well, it was just like,
this is the guy who's going to champion the cause. You know, what he should have said. Yeah, I remember that. Right.
But it was just so obvious.
But, I mean, Kerry Rhodes doesn't resonate. Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Discount Double Check and everything, that resonates.
Sure.
Of course, he'd probably be the ex-Mr. Discount Double Check.
I think that's
given
ridiculous.
Given corporate America.
That's too bad, you know? Well,
I don't think he would lose his sponsorship if he came out and said he was gay?
I don't think he'd lose that.
You never know.
Oh, I don't think he'd
I think the company would get more backlash.
Absolutely.
Well, the contract runs out and they don't renew it.
See, I don't think that would happen. I agree with Eric. I think if it was one of those deals where they were thinking, you know what, this is going to be the face of our – I want Aaron Rodgers. And then all of a sudden they found out that he was, maybe that would change their mind.
Right.
But he's a high-profile ad spokesman for them, and I don't think – I think they would get killed.
Well, there was that video of the guy sleeping with his head on his shoulder.
Well, the big question is not – I think they would stick with him, but the quick question is, what would the locker room be like? What would his teammates think? You know,
I would like to think his teammates would be like, you see, we lost like, what was it, 4 out of 5 without him, and we won
back.
With him.
Do you want to talk about this seriously for a second? Yeah. And some of the things that could
Paul
come
has
up.
To be Mr. Serious.
No, because I think there's some different ways you could – well, I mean,
think they need a superstar.
No, I understand that. I meant like – you just said how the locker room would deal with it. And I think that the knee-jerk thing would be what you just said. Well, obviously, we have a better chance to win with him than without him.
And isn't that what players always like to say?
Do you think
if you can help us win, I don't care if you're black, yellow, green, gay.
That's what they always say.
And I think 90% of them mean it, or a high percentage of them.
I think a high percentage of them mean it, too. And I don't think it would be as big a deal as it's made out to be. I agree with you on that. But with Aaron Rodgers specifically this year, let's just say that he came out last year. So it's a whole year everybody knows that Aaron Rodgers is gay. And then he broke his collarbone, and it took him, in some circles, twice as long to come back as
some questioned it this
year. As some people thought it might. Do you think that in the locker room – now, obviously, he came back when the doctor cleared him. I mean, the fact of the matter is it's not an issue. But do you think there would be an element in the locker room like, he's soft, he's not coming back, he can help us?
I
think it's easy to shrug like that, Andy, but I think
probably.
I think there would be some of that.
You certainly would have had it if Gronk were gay. Because you had it kind of without Gronk being gay. Far from gay.
But don't you think that there would be more of it
if
Gronk was gay?
From who, though?
From people
ignorant
in the locker room.
People.
Ignorant people in the locker room. Let's face it, it's not the smartest bunch, Andy.
But I think it would be
the
same.
It's not the most balanced, diverse,
I think
well-read
it would still be
bunch.
The minority.
Oh, yeah.
The 10%, the 20%, whatever the percentage is that would have a problem with
that's
it.
That's all it needs maybe to be is to make it a story. It doesn't need to be a majority of people saying it to make it a story.
I think it's easy for us to sit there and say how ridiculous it is, and it is ridiculous.
These things we read, rumors and whispers, are one or two people usually, you know?
See, I think the rumors come no matter what. Not about being gay, about being soft. Or
any
it happens
things.
In all sports with all, if a guy has a reputation.
That's all it takes.
Well, what does it matter?
It doesn't really matter, but
they're going to think you're soft either way. So you're either soft gay or soft heterosexual.
Like that, and I think there is a chance.
Do you think it would be worse for Aaron Rodgers if he was gay and he went through what he had to go through? Because I think he started to hear some whispers as it was.
Look, whoever the first person is, it's going to be a little bit tougher than 20 years from now.
But that's why I think for the cause, they need a prominent player. And
no,
you don't get
no
too
doubt.
Much more prominent than a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback. I mean,
there were rumors of Troy Aikman when he was playing for a long time.
Playing the role of Fred.
Are you now playing the role of Fred? I just said that.
All right, I am playing the role of Fred, actually.
I didn't mean to interrupt your lunch.
And I believe my response was, I could
see
that.
Most of us wait until
we wait till
a break to eat our lunch. Eric just goes right ahead and eats his lunch during the show,
Well, I have to leave to go see Tom Brady in a few minutes.
I mean.
Yeah. What?
Nothing.
I don't even know what he said.
I don't know what he said. That's why I said what.
All right, let's take a call. Eldridge is standing by in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. Y'all very entertaining as usual.
Thank you.
Are you moving? You rolling?
No, I'm standing still for right now.
Oh. You watching TV?
Yeah, I'm watching NFL Network.
Oh, nice.
AM show.
So are we.
In the cab?
No, I'm in at the house.
Big Zalumis fan.
At the house.
About a minute, as I like to say.
But don't you think that the players in the locker room would know who's gay and who isn't?
I think they have ideas.
Yeah, they have ideas. And
I think you're right. Obvious ones they probably know. But I think there's also probably some that do a better job keeping it quiet that they don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that too. But reason I'm calling again is we signed a wide receiver, Greg Horton.
Nothing. Don't spend another moment talking about him. He is not worth talking about.
I know. I wonder why they couldn't sign Quentin Sims again. That's what I can't figure out.
Oh, boy.
Or better still, like one of the...
Well, Tyquan Underwood's under contract.
Randy Moss says he can still score 15 or 16.
I did notice, in all seriousness, Kamar Aiken signed with Baltimore yesterday, one of those future contracts.
Exciting.
Yeah, but I was wondering...
Kamar, man.
Aiken to contribute.
Kamarvelous.
Why would they bring Ballard back?
He's on a team.
Jake Ballard is on Arizona.
So means he cannot be brought back. Their season ended. He's property of the Arizona Cardinals till the league year ends.
But Buzz is health-wise on our team. Is everybody going to be ready next week when we play?
We don't know.
I don't know about everybody. I think important people that we thought maybe were questionable, I think Mankins will be out there no matter what happens.
I don't have much
It was good to see Vereen out there, even though I probably would have arrested him. You're going to have Vereen out there. McCourty's back practicing. Looks like you're going to have him back out there. The questions will be Dennard and the two rookie receivers if they're part of the mix.
Yeah, I was wondering about them too, Thompson and Dobson. Yeah. What about Boyce? Boyce still...
You're talking about Boyce and Dobson, right?
Yeah, Tompkins, whichever two I was talking about.
Tompkins been played last game.
Yeah.
Dobson I would be a little bit concerned about.
Who would you rather play, Cincinnati or Kansas City?
I would rather play Kansas City. Andy would rather play Cincinnati.
I wouldn't really want to play either.
I wouldn't want to play either one of them, tell you the truth.
But it's probably going to be Cincinnati, right? Isn't that the most likely?
And Mike Reese wants to avoid Indy at all costs, by the way.
I don't get that.
Outlier.
Yeah, he said that. He said, I've been reading a lot of this stuff and listening, and no one really feels the same way, but he just feels like Luck is the best quarterback of the three and has the ability to control a game, and you could come in and beat. Now, he's definitely the best quarterback of the three. There's no doubt about that, but I don't think he has the weapons to control the game.
I don't like the matchup against Kansas City. I think they have a lot of weapons.
I agree.
Which team do you what do you think teams are thinking about the Patriots?
I don't think anybody wants to play the Patriots.
You don't think so?
No, I think the Patriots.
You don't think like the Bengals are like, we beat them before, we can beat them again.
Oh, I don't think they're afraid.
Yeah, but they're not saying we want to play.
But they don't. No. I mean, I
also
think
would have
that
to
if
come
you
here, which would be different than.
Yeah, I think if you gave them their choice between playing, Indy next game or the Patriots, they'd rather play Indy.
Yes,
but I don't think they're afraid of the Patriots. Just like the Patriots aren't afraid of Denver.
Person
did you hang up on Eldridge?
No, I think he hung up on
us. He said thank you.
He hung up on us.
Person writes
Happy New Year, Eldridge,
and,
by the way.
I'm going to take this person at his word. He prefers to remain anonymous, so I'll respect that. He says, I just wanted to weigh in on your guys' conversation. I play high school football, defensive and offensive line. I'm in the closet. I have told two of my friends on the team, and they have given me their full support. My teammates don't care as long as I do my job and block for them. Being gay isn't a problem, and those who think it is can deal with my team and I. I prefer to remain anonymous for obvious reasons.
Well, I have a question.
Well, good for you.
He told his friends.
Yeah.
Your friends are going to support you.
Not the whole team.
I mean, if they're worth anything in terms of a friendship, they're going to support you.
Right.
The problem is, would all your teammates support you? Other teammates who aren't necessarily your friends, who are either A, just indifferent toward you, or
maybe
don't like you. Right.
You know, I mean, high school football teams can be 50, 60 people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that you didn't like every guy you played with, Andy. And
no.
I'm sure a lot of them didn't like you.
Jeez. They'd have meetings at night about it.
You know, I'm sick and tired of that squirt the huge noggin making fun of me.
Meetings about Andy Hart.
Team meeting. Andy's not here?
Yeah. No. We are most truly incapable of having a normal conversation on this show.
No, but I mean, I didn't like every single guy I played every sport with. Now, most of them I did, but I mean, some of them I didn't. And I'm sure that a lot of them didn't like me.
But that gets back to my whole thing is...
Were there women on your team?
If you don't like somebody, the goal would be... In my opinion, they're going to not like him because they already don't like him, and they don't know that he's gay. They just don't like him for whatever reason, the way he talks, walks, plays, whatever. The goal would be that they just still don't like him. And even if they say something, it's not treated as they hate him because he's gay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the fat kid. They don't like him. And then they call him that fat F.
Right.
Because he's fat, and that's what you do. You pick out a weak spot. So if they call this kid a fat F, a different F.
Right. It doesn't mean it's because of that.
It doesn't mean it's a hate crime. They hated him already, and they're going to go for the lowest common denominator, which is fat or homosexual or whatever.
That's where it gets complicated.
It's different. Because the fat is okay, because the fat's been around forever, he's a fat kid.
But like what you said, once you know something, then you have to start changing the way you treat somebody.
Right.
Once you know something.
Sort of.
Yeah.
See, you have to because of that.
But is that right? I thought it was the whole goal was to not change how you act in
to
front
be immersed
of someone.
Within the team or societal culture. And the way society works, like it or not, is when you don't like somebody, you pick on their weaknesses or what you don't like, and that's just the way it works, right? You have fat shoulders. I make fun of you for having fat shoulders, but that's not a hate crime, right?
Right. But it's a little different when you're talking about.
I know, but isn't the goal for it to not be a little different?
No, I don't think so. I think people should.
When you're talking about the things that it's deemed to be not okay to make fun of, then it's different.
You know, I think
everything else is okay.
I think you should, you know. Making fun of fat shoulders isn't the same as making fun of somebody's religious beliefs, ethnicity, or race.
But the goal is for it to be the same? Right. Like I had a roommate in college that I called the cranky Jew and made fun of him for being Jewish. And he was fine. It was what we did. Just like he made fun of me for being whatever. It was what we did. But that's not okay in society.
Like the players who use the N-word between...
Right. On some level...
Well, that's the whole Dolphins thing.
Mm. Right.
You know, it's okay
in
a locker room.
Setting,
right.
But
when you start reading about these details in society, you're like, oh my God, how could these people treat each other that way?
Right.
Because it's not acceptable in real life.
Right. I don't know. I just think it's, on some level, the goal is for him to be made fun of as part of the team, just like they would any other person.
Right. But for other reasons, not that reason.
See, I think for that reason. That's where I think the goal should be. You're never going to get rid of people are mean to other people by nature, within a team, with whatever.
But the goal
is to have it be that everything's on the table for everybody, and we're all the same, which means we're all going to get made fun of, but we're all the same being made fun of.
And you have to know that you're not getting made fun of because you're gay.
No. I hate you, and I'm going to make fun of your gayness, but I hated you first before I knew you were gay.
And at the same time, you can't make fun of somebody because they're gay.
Correct.
That's where it's
the
different.
The very fine differentiation.
How does the person being made fun of differentiate that? How do they know?
Well,
you need to grow up.
Get
to that place. Yeah. I don't know. We're not at that place. I'm not saying we are.
Yeah.
But like, my point would be, the kid you're making fun of for being fat, are you making fun of him for being fat or ripping him or whatever? Or did you not like him and the easy way to poke is that he's fat?
Well, no, but yeah, I think a lot of the cases when you're young, you make fun of the fat kid. It's not for any other reason.
Well, but you make fun of him. There's two ways to make fun of him. You could be very much included in the group and he's just the fat kid.
And
just like there's the blonde kid, there's the bucktooth kid, there's the... whatever kid, the kid who poops his pants, the kid who pees himself, the kid, you know, everybody has something, right?
Yeah.
My point is, I think the PC police and idealists in the world believe we'll get to a day where you don't make fun of anybody. Good luck with that. Ain't happening. Human nature, group settings, it's been going on forever and will continue to go on forever. To me, the goal should be everybody's making fun of everybody on an equal playing field. There is no bias. There is no prejudice.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. As long as it is an equal playing field, but... for some of these groups, it isn't an equal playing field.
No, I know. You but know? Their goal should be to make it one.
If you can get to that equal playing field, then I don't care if you make fun of me because I'm given the same opportunity that you are.
Correct.
And, you know,
correct.
You know, but that's the thing.
That's the goal, in my opinion.
Yeah, you got to make that.
And we're a long way away.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mistake my tone for we're near it or it's going to be easy,
no,
whatever.
The goal would be to get to the situation where you can accept being made fun of. And understanding it's not because of what you are.
Right. Because you're part of the group, and for whatever reason, we're making fun of you.
But
right.
I think that...
because that happens.
I don't think you can get rid of that.
We're taking the making fun of part as what the problem is. That's not... That's a kind of a ancillary part of the bigger issue, which is, you know, there are people that have a problem with homosexuality.
Yes.
They think... and if they knew, and if they were in a position of power, and they knew that you were gay... they wouldn't hire you.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Correct.
That's the problem.
Correct.
You know? And the making fun of part is sort of an ancillary offshoot of that type of thinking.
Right.
You know? And so...
But yeah, like in your example, my point would be coaches do it a lot. Coaches fixate on one aspect of some player, his name, his race, his background,
right.
his shape,
yep.
his whatever. I think the ideal is yes, you don't want a coach who says, I'm not going to play that kid because he's gay, he's soft.
Right.
Gay kid can't play
right.
linebacker. That you want to reach the day where the guy could say, he's a starting middle linebacker and he takes on a block and gets blown up and makes a joke about, you know, you took that block on like you were gay. Like, he can make a joke about it because it's not...
But it's hard to get to that place
right.
without well, some type of reform.
As
going,
I said, we're a long
that, you know?
Ways away.
Right.
The bottom line to me is what we started with. Most of these people, and like the kid said, they want to win. If I'm a running back and the gay kid is the biggest kid in the school and he's the best guard, and when he pulls, I go for 15 yards and I get more pictures in the paper, guess what? I'm a running back who likes the gay guard, right? That's how it all starts, is you realize he can carry me. Even if you have prejudices, at some point you realize this benefits all of us. This is good for all of us. He can do the job. Success brings legitimacy to the topic. And that's why, you know, Aaron Rodgers. That's why he could be a voice
that's
for it better than...
That's why I feel like it needs to be a really high-profile player.
They need a...
It'd make it so much easier
yeah,
for the entire cause.
Because it makes everybody... See, what are you going to say? You can't be a star quarterback.
He's the MVP of the
gay.
League right there.
Well,
he's the
there's
best
nobody
player.
Better than him. You know, Rob Gronkowski would be the perfect spokesman for the gay cause, in my opinion.
Although I believe he is far from it.
Yes, I do too. But maybe that's just a big beard.
Could be.
But to me, he would be a great...
Some stories that I've heard would indicate that that's
no,
not the
I
case.
I know, but he is so stereotypical the other way of what people think gay is, that if he were the gay guy, you could never say it. I mean, it just breaks the mold. If Rob Gronkowski were gay, he would break the mold and become the perfect poster boy for modern gayness. You thought I was the coolest, womanizing, touchdown scoring, spiking meathead there is, and oh, guess what? I'm gay.
Right.
Don't record that.
Stephen Albany says, I'm going to make fun of you on an even playing field, so I take it when you work on a holiday during a bye week, the discussions amount to nothing more than middle of May off-season talk. Good to know.
This guy's a tool. Who was that?
Stephen Albany.
He's right.
Albany's where losers live.
Another emailer. As Mark Malone famously once said, doesn't anyone want to talk some football?
Did that emailer send in a football-specific question?
Yeah. Right back.
No.
Right back and ask us a question.
Go ahead.
We'll delve in.
Feel free.
They don't.
We don't have a game for a long time, and we don't even know who we're playing.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
Let's see. Sean in Florida writes, is calling in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Let me, Happy New Year. Let me just switch from my headset to...
Yeah, please do.
Thank you.
Okay,
that's much better.
Much better phone.
I want to congratulate you on having the perfect prediction with the record of 12-4. That's great.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. I want to know if you are still, even with that prediction, a bit surprised or maybe even, more than surprised that they've done as well as they have considering.
Well, here's the thing. And yes and no, and here's why I'm going to say that. I made that prediction, as did Paul, when we assumed Gronk would be healthy when he got back and people they wouldn't lose. Well, right, so I get what you're saying. On the other hand, I also made that prediction thinking Houston would be really good. Atlanta would be really good. So yes and no, I'm a little surprised that with all the injuries they were still 12-4, but I'm also surprised that some of these teams that we thought – particularly on the road, would give them trouble, weren't as good as they thought. So that might be why they were 12-4 with all the injuries they had.
Right. I mean, teams, you also might have expected them to win in Miami and New Jersey. So,
exactly. Yeah. So,
the exact games win loss wasn't exactly how I thought. I thought they would lose to Denver, for example, and they beat them.
Right.
But I didn't think they'd lose to the Jets. I think the Jets stink.
Yeah.
So I was surprised by that. But 12-4 is exactly what I thought. before and after the injuries. I figured they would get some injuries. They started off the season at well below 100% to start with. So as I always say, and Andy makes fun of me, you don't generally get healthier as the season goes on. The way I look at this is everybody right now is really surprised that they went 12-4. But along the way, every game, the vast majority of people who pick these games pick the Patriots to win the individual game. So I just wonder why you're surprised that they won them when so many people picked them to win.
I didn't really make any predictions.
No, I don't mean you specifically. I mean the larger you.
Paul, as each week went by, people said, well, they're finding a way to deal with this.
But before the games, they thought they were going to deal with it and win.
No, I know, because based on the week before's performance, they said, oh, they're finding a way to deal with this. But I think at the beginning of the season, if everyone knew you're going to lose Wilfork, you're going to lose Mayo, you're going to lose Tommy Kelly, you know, Gronk's not coming back, you're going to lose Shane Vereen for a chunk of – maybe someone – that had 13-3 or 12-4 might adjust it.
Yeah, I know. I think people would have, and I'm telling you that I wouldn't have. And I think that based on the predictions that I saw every week, I don't think most people would have changed.
Opinion here, Fred, is the most balanced I've ever heard from you. Saying that you might have downgraded them because of the injuries, but then you have to upgrade them because you find out that some of the tough teams aren't tough and quite frankly, just stink.
Right.
Yeah. So
balanced out.
So heading into the year, if you say they're going to lose these five guys that they've lost.
And I still don't know about the
other teams.
You
don't know about the other teams. Right. Maybe it would have been fair to say that.
Right.
Right.
But you didn't have that opportunity. You didn't lose them all before the start of the season.
No, I just said if you knew you were going.
No, I know, but it's really kind of not. It's really apples and oranges. I agree with Andy. It's a very balanced look at it. I don't think what you're saying is wrong. I agree with you 100%. I just think it's sort of an apples and oranges thing. I think if you know all of this stuff beforehand, but you don't know about the team. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know about the teams beforehand, but you know about your personnel beforehand.
But I think, Paul, and I agree, I'm not arguing, but I think there's these camps, and I'm not in it, but there's a camp that says what the Patriots have done this year is absolutely freaking amazing. I'm not quite there yet.
You're not in that.
Some of these teams that we thought were going to be really giving them trouble, particularly –
What the injuries did was they made a lot of games that we thought would be easy heading into the season.
Close.
Tractor pulls.
Yeah.
They had to go to the wire to beat Cleveland.
Now,
they had to go to the wire to beat Buffalo.
This is where you'll be able to say what they did is amazing.
If they win the Super Bowl, that's unbelievable.
Right. If they keep
winning.
That would be.
If they rattle off three wins in the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
I asked you, who was better on their schedule than you thought they would be?
Right, there really isn't anyone.
I think the closest one is Carolina, we had Carolina as a playoff team,
right.
So they're a little better than you thought.
Carolina's better than
a little bit better.
Thought.
Their defense
right.
came out a little
but
bit
But you
better.
Had we had them
you
as,
had
a
it
playoff
as a playoff team.
Right.
No, the you paper.
Like, the paper had Carolina as a playoff
Thanks,
team?
Thanks, Sean.
Didn't some of us have Carolina as a playoff team?
I probably
team?
Did.
But I mean, it's
they were my sleeper team.
If
but I didn't
team
think,
is in the playoffs.
But I didn't think they were going to be a bye team.
Yeah, I thought last year that Cam Newton would be.
Yeah, but you didn't know the league was going to suck.
You know, I was a year too early on the Panthers.
No, you weren't on the Panthers. You were on Cam Newton's jock.
Okay. Well,
and the reason the Panthers are good is their defense, not Cam Newton's jock.
No, I know, but I had the Panthers as being a big contender last year.
Because of Cam Newton.
Doesn't matter why.
Oh, it does matter why, because they're riding their defense. That's what they're
doing. He's doing pretty well, too.
Nah.
He's played very well.
He's fine.
Come on.
But the reason they're good is their defense.
I actually think
I
what
they
you could argue they have the best defense in the National Football
They
League.
They have a better defense than their offenses, but I think the reason they've been able to win is because he's reined it in
he's
a little.
He's not making right. dumb mistakes.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
But
I
think if he plays the same way and they have a middle-of-the-pack defense,
he's not
they're already
Smith.
On their offseason.
He's winning games for them.
Yeah, I
sure.
think
you can make the argument that yeah, they had good, but he won that game for them in mm-hmm. certain spots against us.
Well, he beat us.
Sure, yeah.
Their defense was terrible.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. So, I mean, let's not.
I'm not saying he
Cam
sucks.
Newton.
I'm not saying he sucks at
no,
all.
No, I know you're not saying that, but I think that he's having a better
he's no
year.
Joe Flacco.
Statistically, it doesn't look like looks like he's taking a step back.
Well,
but
yeah,
I think
but his
he's
numbers
done,
have been.
He's done more to help the team win than he did in the past.
Sure.
And he's playing to the game a little bit more, and he's I don't think he's been as reckless with the ball as he has been in the past and stuff like
that. How does that happen?
It made me think, though.
Well, the defense has played well.
When you look at, and I'm not saying that the Panthers are one of the greatest defense, but when you look at the greatest defenses that we think of in NFL history that, you know, since we've been alive, you know, the Steelers with Terry Bradshaw, the Bears with Jim McMahon, the early Ravens with Trent Dilfer, none of these guys were great quarterbacks. And it's pretty amazing. Does having a great defense mean you don't have that great quarterback? It just seems like that seems to always be the case. You know, I don't know.
I mean,
the greatest defenses never had the greatest quarterbacks. They never put it together at the same time. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Those Pittsburgh teams had a lot of Hall of Famers on both sides.
Bradshaw is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He was, but because of the rings, I don't know, because of his own ability.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know enough about it.
But then you get back to,
Maybe I didn't see Terry Bradshaw enough credit.
You know, but how you play.
You might be right.
Cam Newton's numbers are down. They would be up if the defense wasn't as good. He would be throwing more. He'd be making more plays.
That's a good point.
So are you judging it on numbers or wins, and then you get into trouble?
Right, right.
You know, I'm not judging that Trent Dilfer's numbers were what they were.
Oh, no.
He wasn't good.
Fred's point, the case in point, is Trent Dilfer.
But I don't know.
Jim McMahon, you know, that's what Fred's talking about. I'm not sure Bradshaw necessarily falls in line with those two.
Yeah. I don't know. I just never – I mean, I remember being a young kid and following the Steelers. Not that I was a fan.
I'm sure you were when they won.
I hated
it. It was all about their defense.
They won, so Fred liked
it. It was all about their defense and running the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Right.
Now, statistically, Bradshaw doesn't belong anywhere near the Hall of Fame. He's like a sub 50% pat, but that's a whole different time. And I remember, you know, the Super Bowls, you know, like 35-31 against, you know, Dallas, you know, a great defense, and he just shredded them.
Yeah.
You know?
And especially as you move more modern, you only have so many resources.
Yeah.
So if you develop your resources on defense, chances are maybe you don't have the quarterback. If you go for the quarterback,
The 49ers with Montana, from what I'm told,
they had good defense.
They had an underrated defense. Their defense was a lot better than people thought it was.
Yeah,
because all the accolades came to, you know, the
offense. I actually thought they were along the lines of, you know, some of the Patriots' defenses. I think they were good, but they were made to look a lot better because they had that great offense.
Let's go to Devin in New York. Hey, Devin.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
How you doing?
Good, and you?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. I had a few questions regarding some Patriot off-season moves, potentially, that I could see being pretty good.
You hit it a little hard last night for New Year's Eve, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
our defensive tackles are pretty bad. Well, not bad, but they're getting older. And I think that Tommy Kelly could be a potential cut and maybe going after a trade for, like, Geno Atkins, maybe. What do you guys think about that? I mean,
are there any
defensive tackles you like to see out in New England?
I mean, I'd love to see Geno Atkins in New England, but he just signed a $55 million contract with big bonus money. He's the heart and soul of that Bengals defense. They're not going to trade him, and I don't know that they could trade him with the cap acceleration, so he will not be on the top of that list.
Well, what about complimenting Tlaib on the other side? I know I like Alfonso Dennard, but maybe he could play more slot corner instead, and maybe going after Cromartie from the Jets. Isn't his contract coming up?
I do believe his contract is coming up. That wouldn't bother me. The only question I would say there is you now have two long, very similar cornerbacks that I don't know against some offenses whether they'd match up, but certainly if you had Tlaib and Cromartie, that's a very good dual cornerback duo. Yeah, no question.
Now, wide receiver core has been the whole question this year, and they've come through in a lot of tight situations. Now, Kembrell Tompkins and Aaron Dobson do still make some drops and stuff, but at Buffalo I saw a nice catch on a slant where it could have very easily been knocked out. But I do want to see New England draft a wide receiver. Is Sammy Watkins that good of a receiver?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not into the draft process enough yet. And I
think
that's
an
interesting question.
I don't have wide receiver on the top of my list. I don't know how you guys feel.
And I certainly don't know that I want another young receiver. You know, it depends on what you think. If you think all three of these guys stink, get Fred's guy this year.
He'll be an unrestricted free agent now. Emmanuel Sanders. Bring him in.
Another guy that I'd be intrigued by is Stevie Johnson.
What has he done? Has he done a lot this year for the Steelers? I thought it was Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown had a great year, but Sanders is a number two guy.
But Sanders is one of those guys, he's not consistent. You know, from what I saw this year with Pittsburgh, now that I paid a little bit more attention to him, he had some plays, but he also had some plays in key moments where he just dropped it or should have had
it. 2-point conversion on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, so I think he's better than the rookies that they have right now, certainly. But, I wouldn't pay big, big money for him.
I could see them going after a middling veteran receiver, though, to add to this.
Well, that's
I'm not sure you
want to
just go with the three rookies again.
Right?
Well, maybe I don't mean middling them. Maybe I mean a little bit above middling or something. I think they could go after a receiver who is a starting caliber.
I would like to go
not
after
the guys
this
guy
they
got last year.
Menzel throws
Jags.
To all the time. I like the. You know,
he's
what's
intriguing.
His name? Evans or
Mike Evans?
Yeah,
he's intriguing, but I don't know. You know how that all works.
See
how he runs
like
and all that.
I think about having like another Randy Moss and like Calvin Johnson, but I'm thinking, why not a rookie receiver? That'd be huge.
Yeah,
but I could see New England making more defensive moves this year. We're bringing in some offensive line moves. But this question regarding Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, they're like a marriage. You know, Brady signed a contract extension this year, a 3-year till he's 40, I think, and he took a pay cut. You know, when Brady leaves, we have Mallett as the backup for now. If I think New England should also go after a quarterback because this is probably the best draft for those. But if let's say Mallett is still as a starter in that time, will Belichick still be there when Brady's gone? Because I could see Brady doing okay without Belichick, but without Brady or without Belichick, you know, I just don't think it's a good duo if one's not there.
My opinion is Belichick will be here long after Brady is gone, but other people
long after Brady is gone.
Yeah, at least 5 years after Brady's gone.
I don't think he'll be that long.
Yeah.
So you're thinking he's going to be here like another 10 years?
He was before.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be that long.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Do you still think Mallett? I see Mallett as kind of like a Matt Castle in a way, even though we haven't really seen him play very much. But I don't think these quarterbacks are a product of Belichick's system. And I truly believe that that's how it's going to be. Because look at Brian Hoyer. He did pretty great for the few games he started until he got hurt. What is your guys' idea on Mallett?
Mallett's made some incremental progress that we've seen in the preseason. It's hard to really tell how he'd be if it was his show. But I don't see him as the heir apparent. And I've said it before, and thanks for Devin for the call.
Thanks, Devin.
I think that if somebody fell into the lap right now that the Patriots really liked, that they thought they had no shot at, but they really liked from scouting him, they should take him. They should take him right now.
I agree.
You know?
I don't care if that's
the first round.
I'm not sure I do agree.
First round is a little...
What do you think Brady's going to be here for? Minimum.
Minimum?
Yes.
Minimum 2 more years.
So why do you need to have a guy sit around for a couple
because
years?
Because I'm saying that if this you love this guy, there's no way we thought at 29 or whatever number that they were going to be at this year in the draft, if this guy fell in your lap, take him and let him sit around for 2 years.
I agree. I mean, if the differentiation is he the next quarterback or is he the next great Patriots quarterback? Like, you think this is the luck. This is your 10-year start.
You love him.
Okay.
Yeah. You love him.
All right.
Not just, I need a quarterback and whoever's on the board I'm taking.
I'm talking about a guy that you love. You thought he's a top 10 pick.
If you think of him like that.
Yeah, Rodgers. I mean, he's your starter.
Then I agree with you guys. I don't think that that's realistic. That is the guys available in the 29 that you think like
that. Maybe he smoked pot like Dan Marino. You know, when he drops.
You want to get high?
You make me laugh when you randomly throw stuff out.
Right?
Well, he's got a little pot.
Isn't that why he dropped a little bit?
If you feel about him that strongly, this is the next guy, this is the next 15-year face of the franchise, I know that, then I agree with you. Otherwise, I can wait until Brady's actually gone to draft the guy and then have him play. That's what they do now.
Yeah,
they
but if
just
you
play
want to
right
avoid
away.
Sucking...
I don't think you avoid – he's not going to be what he is when he starts playing, whether he's on the roster for 2 years or 1 year or 4 years.
No, but he's
going
to be better.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't Aaron Rodgers his first year. He sat for 3 years.
He's going to be better because of it.
He'll be better, yeah, marginally.
Yeah, I think it's more than more. I think getting even a year in the system, just knowing everything, I think is huge.
It helps.
Because I think the second year you start to get better rather than figuring out what you do, where you go, how you are, what everything is now just, it's work time and I know exactly where I am starting from. I have a question, big picture question, so this may get us in trouble. As of today, Colorado marijuana is legal.
Yeah.
Recreational use.
Yeah.
How does that work in terms of like, you know, it's, you can't fail a marijuana test in the NFL. Like,
well, that's a good question. I think it was brought up at the time.
Like, you can drink in the NFL.
Right.
Right? I mean, that, cause it's legal.
Right.
Now, you don't want a drunk on your team and there's issues there down the road, but just recreational drinking, anyone can do it because it's legal and an adult.
Right.
Well, in Colorado, if I'm, you know, Demaryius Thomas and I want to go get high,
I think the pro sports, particularly NBA and NFL, have seen this coming down the road. And I think the testing for marijuana is very, very lax in the pro sports.
Because you know my theory on it. If you want to play in my league, you'll play by my rules. If you don't, go play in Iowa.
But I think you can do that.
Okay, because that would be my theory. I don't want any high players. I don't like what it does to you. I don't. But whatever my reasoning is, I have banned marijuana from my league. It's not a right to play in my league. It's a privilege. That's right. The stance I would take. But
you would.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Okay.
This is not a.
Why is that different from drinking?
Well, I just think it's, I don't know enough about marijuana, but, and I, you know, my whole, Sanjay Gupta changed his whole thought process, went for years, was a starch opponent, and now has changed full circle, and marijuana should be legalized, it should be treated like alcohol. I just, what was the reasoning? You know, part of it is my personal perception. A lot of people that I know that have smoked a lot of weed
stoners.
Seem to be stupid.
Yeah.
Seem to be like too laid back, and, you know, the whole, it kills brain cells. By my opinion, that's true. But by my opinion,
so does alcohol.
But I don't see as many. I see a lot of drunk. Like I know drunks that are drunks, and you can see that they've had a hard life and they've drunk.
Right. So aren't they the same as the stoners? And then there's the people that were able to do it in moderation.
I guess maybe you could certainly make that argument. You certainly could. But now, when are they doing it? How are they? I think you're just opening up more ways that the player that I have invested a lot in can get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Can go down a road of. Even the stupid stuff. Like, I don't even know if it's true if it causes you the munchies. But now do I have an offensive lineman who's going to be 10 pounds heavier than I want him to be because he's getting high and eating crap food at night?
That's monitored every day in practice and when they weigh in and all that stuff. Isn't it much worse to be with the DUIs nowadays? You know, you don't get DUIs for being stoned.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing. Driving under the influence. You can get you can get DUI'd for drugs. You're high at the time.
Yeah.
Well, it's a drug.
But I've heard many, many people say that, you know, you don't go out and kill people in your car being stoned, but you do when you're drunk.
It slows your reaction times. It does similar stuff to being tired and all those things.
That's not what I've heard. But anyway, you know, I don't know. But I think that they've seen this coming for a while. And
have backed off the testing?
I think if players were honest, I think at least 50% of the players in the NFL smoke weed.
You think it's that high?
Yep.
I'm not sure it's that high.
I do.
Higher, steroids, performance-enhancing drugs, or recreational drugs?
PEDs.
That's what I think.
Well, but I think that's a different argument.
But
it's that's a different
argument. No, but I'm just judging a locker room
from
afar.
I don't think Fred's percentage is probably as off as you do. No. Kind of like I think more of Flacco than you do.
50%.
Yeah. I just watched this movie last night, and I know it's just a movie, with James Franco. It was that end of time, end of the world comedy. It had Jonah Hill on it.
Oh, yeah.
And all these. It was a bad movie. There were like two moments that were mildly funny. But, you know, smoking weed is just like everybody does it there.
Well,
and there's not a lot of difference between these star athletes and these Hollywood actors. You know, there's a lot of... You know,
oh, I think a lot of
traits.
Oh, I think a good chunk. I'm just not sure it's over 50%. I'm like mentally trying to scan the Patriots locker room and say and anoint a guy.
I'm just thinking to myself.
Does it?
I'm thinking to myself. Skill position guys, running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs.
How many? Let me ask you a question.
I'm thinking they're all doing.
Just your perception.
Amendola.
How many players in the NFL or
he probably does it for the pain.
How many NFL players do you say recreationally drink? Just socially, not to.
Oh, a lot.
How many? Percentage wise.
80%.
Okay, I think.
I think that's the general population.
I think in that age group, I think weed is as recreational as alcohol.
I don't believe that.
I think
to be
there's
true.
A lot of people who smoke I don't think weed it's... that don't drink.
That may be. I don't know if it's a lot.
I don't think that's quite as high. I think more,
so. This
think,
is a generational thing.
Yes,
I think there's more recreational.
Because when I was in college and high school, right, when we grew alcohol up, was everyone,
exactly.
And weed was a large chunk, right. But not everyone.
I think it's
but
a higher percentage of recreational drinker.
I think
then.
It's changed. I think
Son
it's yeah.
Yeah, I think we went to school at the wrong time.
Yep. Oh no, for me it's fine. I
I'm
know.
Just thinking about the girls now who are all like, oh, BJs aren't you know,
oh,
dirty.
Well, that's different.
They're all apparently just handing out BJs like they're going out of style.
Is that right?
Supposedly.
Well, it's better than, you
right.
know.
Better than the alternative.
Some
right.
of them think the, you know, we don't talk about that other hole, is okay. also.
All right, here we go. Alex writes in, let's get back to football. Broncos have three teams in the playoffs that have beaten them in the regular season. There's a good chance that Manning will have to face two of those teams. With his past playoff record and Brady possibly standing in his way, he has a huge mountain to climb, and the odds are he will not make it to the Super Bowl. And if that is the case, when we talk about his records this year, we will say, big deal, he choked again.
You know, I've wanted to talk
That's
about
Al
this.
Al the Post, Al the Mailman.
About Manning, but also about the Broncos, about in general. The past performance thing. You know how the past performance is not necessarily an indicator of future success? Like, if you didn't know anything about Peyton Manning other than his 2013, how would you feel about him and the Broncos?
I would be more worried about the Broncos than I am.
More worried?
Yeah. If I didn't know anything about Manning and just was going by 2013.
I find that interesting.
I'd be more worried about the Broncos.
Because I think everybody assumes he's going to poop himself because that's what Manning does in the postseason.
Yeah, that's why I'm not. That's why I'm not as worried about the Broncos. If I just had 2013 and I wasn't thinking that he's going to poop himself.
No, but you just said you'd be more worried about him if you didn't know the history.
Yeah. I'd be more worried. I'm less worried because I do know the history. I think he's going to poop himself.
No. I'm talking about how good the Broncos can be. I guess we're confusing. Do you think the Broncos would be better or worse if you didn't know the history?
Better.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
that's why I'd be more worried about him.
Yeah, I guess I was confused at
you
what the
Paul.
Worry means.
You pulled a Paul.
What?
You got confused in your own question.
No, I was thinking worried from a Broncos perspective. Are you worried about your quarterback pooping himself?
Oh, if I'm a Denver fan?
Just in general.
I thought you were saying if I was a Patriots fan.
Like, are you
fan?
Worried about...
See, that's the way it is.
I hold
Fred.
Marvin Lewis against the Bengals.
Exactly.
But what would you think of the Bengals if you didn't know history? If you just took the 2013
If I were a
Bengals.
Patriots fan, I'd be more worried about the Bengals as a Patriots fan.
In other words,
fan.
How much does history influence
yes.
Okay, let's go
perception.
Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Patriots,
I think,
you just
I
see
think
the,
less of the Patriots if I didn't
just
know
on 2013.
Yeah,
I think they're
them.
A lucky team that got by on the skin
right.
of their team.
Yes, but right. I know better.
Right,
because
but
do you?
Because of the history.
But what is the history?
The history is
I thought the history was Brady wasn't good in the postseason.
The history is they find
you
a
think
way
Brady
to win.
Stinks in the postseason. You wanted to trade him for Schaub.
I think Brady has been wildly inconsistent in the postseason.
Oh, so he's due for a good one and then a bad one. He'll stink it up in the AFC title game.
Yeah, I don't know. Lately, it's been bad and bad, and so I don't know. I don't know what
bad and bad. So the history of Brady is bad and bad, but he feels better about the Patriots the history.
But you can't just say the history is the, like the most recent game.
You're
the
right.
The history is the Patriots are pretty good.
2003-04, he was good.
Oh, he likes to paint me in this picture, but he does the same exact thing. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
He just wants to put it all on me because in places that he's afraid to talk about on the air. He thinks
I talk
the same
about
thing
everything
about Brady.
No, I actually don't.
Yes, you do.
I think the criticisms of Tom Brady are borderline ridiculous.
Well, you think you wrote about it?
No,
you'll be the last person on that bandwagon.
Yes, so I think he's pretty damn good.
After so he you had
think
that people yards passing?
I think no, I did
see,
not.
I like,
when
I
did I write that?
I would like to say
he's a.
I would like
bad
to say
person.
So. The people that say that he hasn't been as good in the postseason, but there aren't any of those. So.
Oh, there are plenty of those.
Not really.
See, the difference is all of them pretend they're the only one saying it.
Right.
But they're all saying it, so there's actually a lot of them.
Right. I just said the people that write about that. Who?
People write about it on Twitter. They don't do big barnstorming stories about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because you'd be stupid if you wrote this
no,
whole
because you'd be stating
stupid
the facts.
Feature. But people write that. But they don't write
Who
this
does?
Big headline, Brady, a postseason failure. They write it as sort of just a part of the narrative, the media narrative, Paul Perillo.
I seem to remember at least one guy writing, but it was either on Yahoo or ESPN last year, about Brady's.
See, I think a lot of people write about it within the context of the game, leading up to a game.
Yeah.
They don't write, like I said, the headline above the fold.
The story
Brady
is
no longer postseason good.
Right.
No one ever writes that.
I totally agree with you. The stories that you see say that he's 5-5 in his last 10 postseason games. Not Brady has been responsible for them not winning these postseason games. That's a different story to me. Brady has not played well in these games, and that's why they're 5-5. No one writes that. I agree with Andy. No one writes that.
Because it may or may not be the truth.
Because it will require some effort and some balls. As you like to say, I got to come out with your balls.
Yeah, but there's a fine line between balls and stupidity.
Well, that's what you think.
Well, if you back it up with facts.
But every fact has
circumstances. Sure.
Exactly.
You know, I'm a big believer
that's exactly what people do when they write about Brady's failures, quote-unquote,
right,
in the postseason.
And it's just
it's
like,
always qualified.
You know, I've seen recently, guess what? The offense isn't as good. Brady sucks now. Or he lost the best player on the offense, Rob Gronkowski.
Have you seen a lot of Brady sucks now?
What?
Have you seen a lot of Brady
sucks
now?
No, but I'm just saying,
year?
If you wanted to make that argument, the offense since Gronkowski left has sucked, right? Well, is that because Brady now sucks? Brady was great when Gronk was out there, and now he sucks. So Brady is just a product of everything around him.
Yeah, and I haven't been on that.
Because I think the fact that Gronkowski in the Super Bowl was not Gronkowski and that he wasn't out there last year was a factor.
But there were plenty of other guys out there in the Super Bowl.
Right.
For him to have played better than he did. For him to be throwing the ball to nobody out of the end zone for a ridiculous safety.
Well, that was a bad mistake.
And he played badly.
Okay.
I mean,
he didn't play great.
No.
But
he normally plays great, so he didn't play great.
I actually don't think he's ever played as
great
as people want to make him out to be. I don't think he was ever as great as the narrative tried to make him out to be early in his career, and I don't think he's as bad as the narrative makes him out to be, led by you, late in his career.
I mean, again, I don't mind that you do that to me, that you exaggerate.
Well, you want it. You claim no one else says it. You're the only one who says it.
I just said
you're daring people to write it.
I just got finished saying I don't mind that you do that to me. You exaggerate it to make a point, though. You're making it sound
you're the leader of that cause.
But you're making it sound like that I'm saying that Brady sucks. And you know that I'm not saying that.
Well, you did just say his recent track record is a bad and bad. It used to alternate between bad and good.
His postseason games, he has not played well consistently lately. Would you agree with that or not?
Yeah,
okay,
for the most part.
That's all I'm saying.
I paint the circumstances as being relative. You think the circumstances aren't relative. There were other guys out there. Well, yes, but those other guys aren't Gronk. Those other guys aren't Welker. Those other guys aren't the guys that he makes his money with.
If he were, Andy Dalton, I wouldn't say that he sucked in his last couple of postseason games. It's all relative. The bar is really high for me with Brady.
Unrealistically high.
Probably.
Because the probe on the back end, way back when? Yes, was unrealistically portrayed. Like, I don't think he was as good as people think he was.
Well,
that's kind of my point.
His main thing was his...
Paul likes that point. He was never as good as people wanted to say.
No, when they had a shutdown, lockdown, to Fred's point, defense, he was great.
See, my argument is he wasn't great. The team was great, and he was a part of a great team,
but he played better than he does now. Because he had to
do Mike
less.
Salk.
He did not really...
He played better.
He really
you
didn't
just turned
become
into your
the
Salk
numbers
voice.
Guys until, number guy until 2007. You know, Manning was the number guy.
Right.
Brady was just the win guy.
Right.
You know, he wasn't the numbers guy until 2007.
But his postseason came before that. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about people like Paul who think he's not as good in the postseason as he once was.
Sure.
That wasn't based on numbers. It was just based on a perception. When you needed a drive late in the game, Brady did it. That was sort of the basis, the foundation of that. Two-time Super Bowl MVP, 10-0 in the playoffs, all that stuff.
But is that not accurate?
Those stats are accurate.
No, but
do I think
when
the reason all that happened
in the postseason
was him?
Was that accurate?
On occasion, yes. He also made mistakes in those postseason games. He also had poor plays in those postseason games.
Yeah, he had a
no one's perfect
interception in the end zone.
But the narrative was perfect then and bad now.
No,
that's the narrative
that's
that you're
not
trying
the narrative.
To, the
narrative.
The reality is
that's not perfect now. That's the problem.
And that's
the
just encapsulated my thoughts.
The margin for error now is so much less, than it was then. He could make a mistake and it could be covered up. Now he can't make a mistake.
But don't you think
that doesn't mean he sucks?
But don't you think he's made?
He loses. That doesn't mean he sucks.
Of course it doesn't.
That doesn't even necessarily mean he played all that poorly.
It's just
he didn't play well enough to carry.
It's more on his shoulders now than it was back then.
Right.
That is true.
But that's a commentary on the team.
Right.
I think that's all true. But I just feel like that he's made more mistakes now. Like you're making it sound like he can't afford to make a mistake. Like he's lost these games because he's made one mistake. Like, no, he's not played as well as he did before. Yes, everything you said was true. There's more on his shoulders. He has less margin for error. He has no defense to work with traditionally. And he has had, I mean, he has had games that he's played well in that he's lost. And he's also had games that he's played poorly in and won.
Right.
You know, so all the stuff that you said is true. I just don't feel like he's played as well over the last half of the postseason games that he played in compared to the first half. Not just because of the record. I don't think he's played as well.
Me.
Like the 16-0 year when he threw three picks against San Diego. But they won. You know, I just don't think that was, you know, what we had become accustomed to seeing out of him in the postseason.
I have to look at that game again. Were they all clean picks, or were they, you know, tips and stuff like that?
I'm sure there was a defensive holding for they missed Fred somewhere. Yeah. You know, according to
I'm
you.
I'm just asking a question.
I don't know. I don't remember every single throw.
Because when you look back and you say three picks, it's like, oh, Brady had a bad game. But I, like we talked about yesterday, you have to go back and see what was the context of the number.
But my point is, to Andy's point, we don't go back and look and see what caused the success.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I think if you go back and watch,
you
don't think the 0-1, 0-3, 0-4, you'd say, wow.
You don't think there was some luck involved with some of the things that happened for them?
But that's, I think, what Andy's saying is you go back to 0-3 and people just assume that Brady was lights out.
Right.
And that he was the Brady that we saw, but he wasn't.
And that's good enough. We don't have to go back and examine it and look at every single play and make sure that he wasn't responsible for everything. Because there's no need to do that. He was great.
It's like he's personally offended that people think Brady's good.
No. See, but this is, again, I don't mind that you paint me out to be this, but you do exaggerate.
But you get so angry.
I get angry because it's...
Get angry at you!
It's dismissed as foolishness, and it's not foolishness.
But, see, the thing I think a lot of people talk about it. I really do.
I think people talk about it. I don't think that they talk about...
Well, what do you want to write it in the sky with an airplane? Brady not as good of late in postseason? Like...
I think, first of all, I think when you say they talk about it, it's people like Felger talk about it.
I just think a lot of people.
You're not getting this on the other station when John and Jerry are interviewing Brady. You're not getting them to talk about
his
5-5 record the last 10 postseason games.
Of course, you're going to suck up to the guy.
You didn't
that's
get Glenn Ordway talking about it before he was gone either. You didn't get those guys talking about it.
Yeah, but you're talking about guys that are in the pocket.
And I think that people who talk about it, quote unquote, say. Yeah, he's been 5-5 in his last 10 postseason games. But, you know, he doesn't have the defense that he used to have. And, you know Gronkowski was injured in that game. And, you know, and this game could have gone down. You know, they could have won. If not for David Tyree's catch, they would have won another one there.
It's like a laundry list of excuses.
You say excuses. I paint it as facts, as parts of the story.
But we don't say that they won all those games because of John Casey kicking the ball out of bounds.
Oh,
and
but I think
this
people
guy
do
dropping
say
that pass. And,
see, I
know,
think people do say that.
You know, not being able to tackle J.R. Redmond in bounds. No one says those things.
A lot of people.
Because they deserve to win those games because Brady was excellent in those
playoff
games.
Will say that the Patriots always get the breaks.
And I think fans will even talk about it.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, maybe it's just that. Maybe it's just a perception kind of thing.
What we don't see right now, and we shouldn't, but toward the end of Bledsoe, you did have people like Tom Curran who were just calling for his head and writing about it,
well,
not just saying it.
But wait a minute. Don't paint me out into that. Tom Brady has been 1,000 times better than Drew Bledsoe was at the end of Drew Bledsoe's tenure.
You don't see those types of comments.
And you
like,
shouldn't.
You know, he's on the decline and he's not getting.
But you shouldn't see that. I'm not calling for that.
And there's not even reason yet.
No.
I mean, you have
absolutely
to
not.
Lose five in a row down late
right.
or something.
Yes,
there has to be something to fuel
and
that.
That's
Tom
why we
Brady's
don't see those
quote unquote
yet.
Bad
right.
games that I'm talking about right now are light years better than the games that Drew was playing toward the end of his Patriots tenure.
Right.
But like,
there should not be a calling for his head.
Let's say they lost to New Orleans because his pick is the end of that game. And let's say the Cleveland game, he throws a pick to end that game. And then he throws another pick in Houston and you lose that game. Well, people are going to start to talk and people say, you know, he's really not making the plays you need to make.
Right, but he doesn't do that.
Not consistently enough.
But he did.
Not consistently enough. You have to have a string of those before people say, right. Wow, he's starting to look old. Maybe this is the point where blah, 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 next quarterback draft, blah, blah. But when you're still pulling those games out and when you're still winning 12 games and you're still on a bye, you'd kind of be a moron to write, you know, Brady's done. Run him out of town. Next guy up. Why would you write that?
Right.
None of the facts back that up.
I've never been a proponent of writing anything like that during the regular season. My question with him is during in the playoffs.
Whoa, that's a big qualifier.
My question with him is during the playoffs. He has not done it the way he does it in the regular season.
That's a big qualifier.
In the playoffs.
Okay, all right.
You know, and I'm only going to quote the owner when he threw that lazy pick to be one and done against the Jets team that came in here after having lost 45 to the whatever,
yep.
10.
It was a very
emotional. Since then, they've gone to the Super Bowl and they've gone to an AFC title game. And they led at halftime in an AFC title game. So none of that is
not
anything
because
related.
Of his strong play.
So he was
in
just
either one of those.
So he was
games.
Just along for the ride. Their defense carried him. Their dominant running game carried him. Like how did they get to those if Tom Brady didn't make any plays?
I didn't say he didn't make any. He didn't play as consistently well in those games as he had in the regular season. Yeah. He used to play consistently well.
That's
in the
an argument that I've never understood. He didn't play as well in the postseason as he did in the regular season.
But he used to.
Well, see, I don't buy that necessarily.
You don't think he played as well in those first,
I don't buy
first
that
several playoff games
I think
games
when
as
you get
the
in the postseason,
season,
guess what happens?
It gets harder.
The teams are good.
It gets
the defenses
harder.
Are good.
And he,
nothing's
and he,
as easy.
And he wasn't as affected by it early as he has been later. That's all
maybe,
I'm saying.
Maybe. Back when he had a good defense and back when he did, you know, when Charlie Weiss could tell him no one ever lost by punting.
Okay.
Well, guess what?
That's fine.
This team can lose by punting. If they go into Denver, they could literally lose the game by punting. Literally.
I don't have a problem with what he's saying. I'm just saying you have to accept that as excuse making. That's all.
Well, you know, you
see,
let,
they might
are
be
the facts excuse making?
Okay, well, the facts are that he throws more interceptions than touchdowns in his last whatever many postseason games.
Right.
But
against
he doesn't
better
have
teams.
Gronkowski. Now all of a sudden he's playing playoff teams that are better. And early in his career, they weren't better.
Wait, playoff teams aren't better than the regular season teams?
But were they, are they
you
any,
said he's not
they
as consistent
less?
In the playoffs as he is in the regular season.
So why was he able to do it for a long time?
Because he had a better team.
Okay, again, fine. I'm just telling you.
Well, where
the
is the line between facts and excuse making? Where is that line, that divide? Are they always
you
the same?
You tell me.
No, you tell me. You're the one says I'm making excuse making by what I think are bringing up facts.
And you're telling me that I'm not bringing up facts by telling you he's throwing more interceptions than touchdowns?
You are bringing
games?
Up facts, but I'm not saying you're fluffing it up or you're doing. You're telling me that I can't
that
bring up facts
now,
because it's excuse making.
You know, is Baltimore last year better than the Rams were in 2001?
No.
He didn't throw more interceptions than touchdowns in those games.
Wait a minute. Every game is a specific
no,
thing?
I'm talking about the 10 games that he started.
Right, when he went 10-0.
Against really good teams, right?
Right, right.
So
when he had a really good defense, so he didn't have to force things as much, as I just said.
You look at it.
You punt in Denver this year, you probably lose.
I mean,
if you punt three times in the first quarter in Denver,
Andy,
I think there's a good chance you lose that
game. If they
lost
some of those games, you know, 31-28, I'd sit there and I'd say, you know what, he's got to do it all, and it's just all on him. But when you lose 17-14, and you set the record for points in a season, some of that's got to go on the quarterback.
But
some
even,
of it.
But even back
but none
then,
of it does.
But even back then, you know, the win against Tennessee in the cold, the win against Manning here when they shut down Manning and they only got 3 points. We don't remember Brady ever lighting it up in any of those games. It was, you know, the defense kind of, you know, shutting down the other team. And
I agree with everything
Andy
said about
but
that.
Now I think
the defense
just,
carried them.
It's just so much more. We're so much more reliant on Brady winning the game now that we don't realize that he didn't necessarily win those other games that he was 10-0 in. You know, he didn't make mistakes to lose the game. Absolutely. And I'm talking playoffs. He didn't make mistakes to lose it. But really, the defense shut down that other team.
I totally agree.
You know, and that's why they won.
I totally agree. 100%.
You know?
Nothing to argue with you.
But isn't that like the opposite of excuse making, whatever that is?
Well, I mean, the question is.
Those are all just facts.
You know, the question is, had he been in the same place back in 04 and 03 where he didn't have the defense he did, would he have been any better than he is now in the playoffs? I don't know. There's no way to answer that.
I don't know either. I
There's
can't
no way
answer,
to answer
I can't
that.
Answer it either.
You know, and same thing. If he had a defense like he had back then in these last 10 playoff games or whatever it
would
was.
Would he be better?
Would he be better?
Right.
You know, it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answer because that didn't happen.
Right.
I can't tell you what would have happened.
Right.
But isn't the common thought that when you have a defense, you don't force things as much as a quarterback,
exactly.
as an offense?
Right.
You know, I mean,
you don't feel the pressure.
What do you think of Peyton Manning's postseason?
What postseason?
His history.
I think it's very inconsistent. I think he's had a lot of stinkers.
Don't you think the majority of postseason games he's played has been under the same conditions
yes.
that Brady does now?
I think had he had the Patriots defense,
what do we think of Brady?
He would have been 10-0.
What do I think? Let me not ask Andy this question. Let me ask Fred what you think of Peyton Manning as a postseason performer. And if you don't say he's a choking dog, you're not being
honest. I don't think he chokes.
He's calling you a liar, Fred.
I'm not calling you a liar.
You just said he's not being honest.
I think you're being a little bit disingenuous. It's not lying, but I think that you think he's a joking dog.
Oh, my God. On this show, many, many times I've said I don't understand.
And by the way, I think there's some choker in Peyton Manning.
Yeah. On this show, I've said many times I don't understand all the hatred and, you know, stuff that comes out on Peyton Manning. And, in fact, Al from
– That's the person. I don't understand the hatred of the person. Yeah, I'm talking about just his play.
Yeah.
What do you think of his play in the postseason?
I think that it's the same thing.
He doesn't play as well.
He's come up against better defenses in the postseason, and, you know, it's all on him. And when he doesn't, you know, when he's not perfect in the postseason, it's hurt him. Yeah, I don't think anything less of Peyton Manning because of his postseason performances. I really don't. I don't.
Oh, I actually do.
I do.
I actually do.
I do.
Because that's a part of it. That's a barometer.
I can't sit here and tell you that I think a little bit less of what Tom has done the last several postseason games and tell you I don't think less of Peyton Manning, because Manning has done what Brady has done the last couple of games, magnified by 1,000.
But even this
But year, even him, if you gave him those defenses of the Patriots, of or the one year when you gave him a defense that was pretty good, is it coincidence that he suddenly put it together?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't think he played very well in a lot of those games.
But he can. Just like I think Brady's had ups and downs.
I think he's played well in some games that they've lost.
You know when Brady dominates in the postseason? When he plays a team that shouldn't really be in the postseason. Like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Teams that aren't really playoff teams.
I hear you.
I think when you play playoff teams, it's hard. You know, it's like this year. All Manning's losses are against playoff teams. He could lose to them again. You know why? Because they're good. That's why he beat them. That's why they're in the playoffs. Circular logic.
All the teams have losses. I mean, the Patriots lost a couple.
No, but that's my point.
Too. I mean, that's everybody does that.
And when you play them on a weekly basis,
yeah,
1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row, you're probably going to lose to one of them because they're good. And you proved in the regular season that you lose to them when you play to them because they're good.
The striking part of the email that guy sent about.
Don't even remember what email we were talking about.
I was just going to say the three teams that Manning's right. playing. Three teams that he lost to. The striking part of that email to me is how many playoff teams they've played. They have two against Kansas City, two against San Diego, Indianapolis, the Patriots, and Philadelphia. I mean, they played a lot. That's a lot of games.
One could argue that their mettle has also been proven.
Sure.
Like the Patriots has against non-playoff teams.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Well, everybody's
is that
blowing
a shot at me?
No, everybody's blowing the Patriots for being so resilient and playoff ready because they've, you know, the Felger theory. Winning ugly is important, even if winning ugly against non-playoff crappy teams. That's somehow better than winning pretty against playoff teams or even losing tight against playoff teams. It's somehow better to beat up on, you know, the one-eyed team.
Yeah, the whole medal thing, I'm not sure I'm a huge proponent of
it. I am not a huge proponent of it.
I think if you play well, you can
tell.
You know
who I think's
not
a big
proponent
of it? Bill Belichick.
You can watch a game and look at it and say, well, that team played really well. The Patriots played really well against Baltimore. It didn't matter to me that Baltimore was so bad. The Patriots played
really,
really well. Well, that's my point. Like, I could see the
difference. Oh, wait, they laid down.
You couldn't see the difference between the way the Patriots played against Baltimore as compared to, say, Cleveland? Like, you don't think the Patriots played a much better game? Of course you do.
I think everyone on the Patriots would tell you that we got to play a lot better than we've been playing.
Correct.
In order to win in the playoffs.
Including their head coach.
Right.
Led by their head coach.
Right.
The head coach is going to spend the next 2 weeks trying to improve that.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. But the good news is, I think
so much so that he unprecedentedly
saying the same thing,
answered my question about his offense being too Julian Edelman specific. That's how focused he is on changing. He actually admitted there might be a flaw there. When he normally would have said, we're just trying to win every game we play to the best interest of the football team, Andy.
Yeah. But I think the good news is pretty much every team would have to admit we need to play better than
True.
We have been.
True. You know? I want to throw a little thing out there, just a side topic that came up in Ask PFW yesterday. Someone wanted to know why the Patriots were criticized for running up the score in 07 and the Broncos are not, and they broke the points record. Why are they celebrating the Broncos ripped the Patriots? Well, part of it was perception. People don't like the Patriots. They didn't like the Patriots that year for certain reasons that occurred early in the year. We don't need to go down that road.
No, I'm sure.
But the other issue is the Patriots won 10 games that year by 21 or more points, 3 by 31 or more points, 2 by 45 or more points. Broncos won 5 games this year by 21 or more points, 1 by 30 or more points, and 0 by more than that. There's a big difference there.
So they needed the points.
One was filled with blowouts. One was playing games where their defense isn't very good and they're not blowing people out.
51-49 against
right.
Dallas or whatever it was.
You know, yeah. Patriots were playing 51-5. I don't know why I picked 5.
Yeah, and the other part of that I'll say.
You can get that score.
To me, the biggest one is...
I know you can, but...
The biggest one is the people, you know, the hatred for the Patriots, but...
And the hatred that was fueled by the incidents
by
of that season.
Yes, no question.
I'm going to
say
that word.
The, I don't remember Brady sitting out second halves of games like Manning did Sunday.
Well, he wasn't good enough. He needed the work, according to you.
Do you?
No. It's just one game.
No,
but... the end of the season.
He sat out the whole second half on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to be fair,
bad ankles.
Brady may have sat out the second half had they, you know, not been in a dogfight with the Giants, right? I mean, if it was the season finale, maybe,
no.
and you're cruising, Brady might sit that
but
out.
But what I'm saying is they had 52-7 games that he didn't sit out, 56-10
right.
games that he didn't sit
no,
out.
No, but I'm just saying
they weren't
the one
sitting
comparison.
Him out the last game either.
But my point was the Broncos didn't have a lot of those games where they could have sat Manning out.
No, but yet he did come out of a lot of games.
But this example, the end of the season, Brady may have come out had they been blowing somebody out in the finale.
And
instead, they were dogfighting to win a perfect season.
I also think, and I don't have anything to back this up, it's just my opinion, the week before when he threw a couple of touchdown passes late against Houston, Patriots fans were up in arms. You know, Manning did. So he set the record in the 15th game. And I think that they intentionally got him the record because they wanted to give themselves the possibility that if the Patriots lost to Baltimore, I don't think Manning would have played at all in Week 16.
Right. If he got the record.
That's why they tried to get him the record. I don't think they would have cared about the yardage record.
Right.
They would have sat him out in Week 16.
Would that have been a good choice?
Because
now you're going down that three-week road
need,
again.
You need to tell me about his ankles, like Fred said. I mean, how bad health-wise is
he? I gave up on those.
You know, Fred's point is a good one with those ankles. I don't know how bad they were.
Let's go
But as it worked out for them, it's probably better that he played a little bit.
Correct.
And then he almost lost that record anyway, because I guess Elias looked at one of the passes that he threw.
Oh, they took it back?
They didn't.
They did not.
It definitely was a lateral, but
yeah,
I don't really care.
Oh, it definitely was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Peter King said it should be taken back. I didn't see the play, but I mean, we're going to look at
it many, many, many times.
Like,
because the things I read said one angle looked like it was, and then one angle looked like it wasn't.
If you look at the field,
well, if that's the way it was, then it shouldn't have been taken back.
If you look at the emblems on the field, which don't move, you know, based on the angle, the guy was definitely standing behind the logo, you know, I don't really care. I'm not up in arms about that.
Well, if it was a touchdown pass, you would have been.
Yes, then I would have been.
Because for some reason, that's like your cherished record. That's Tom's touchdown pass.
Then I would have.
But he broke Drew Brees' record for
then
that.
Then I would have.
Oh, I'm sorry. We can switch back. We can switch back.
By the way, Andy, sad news from our TV childhood. It appears that Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince has passed away.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. James Avery.
No surprise.
I'm bummed out
about that. Carlton just tweeted that out.
Not really a surprise, though.
No.
I always
say. But he was great.
You go to nursing homes, there's not a lot of big fat guys in
nursing homes. No, that show was great, and he seemed like a nice man.
Uncle Phil, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Gone?
Oh.
Dead.
It's on Twitter, yeah.
It's on the Twitter.
Not a good thing to be a man, old and fat.
Well, you know, things always come in threes, so next thing you know, Rerun's going to pass away.
Who's Rerun?
Fred Berry, I believe his name was.
Yeah.
Who's Rerun?
What's Happening? Andy didn't see What's Happening.
Yeah, no.
What's the name of that show?
What's happening?
He was saying it to you.
Wow.
What is wrong with you?
Eric's back from Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wish they had just left it at 1:15.
Because that's when it was?
That's when it was.
Wow.
Did he have any explanations on his postseason performances?
Paul says he is pretty much bad back-to-back performances in postseason. Did you ask him
Here's
why?
Where he's going to exaggerate
I did not.
Now.
No, I did not.
How's he feeling these days?
Not in the mood to answer too many questions.
He was not chipper today.
Huh? Not chipper today,
I thought
no.
He'd get a chipper, Tom.
Well, he was in
maybe
Rio de Janeiro
pissed that he has to be here on New Year's
back.
Day.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why.
No,
maybe
he said
he's
was fast
that he's
asleep.
Here.
He missed the New Year.
Well, he should
early
be happy
practice,
then.
Early morning practice.
He was fast asleep on a plane.
Did you see that new law they passed in California? It's now illegal to take photos of children of celebrities without the express written consent of the celebrity or
no,
something?
No, I did not.
Yeah. He should be happy about that. Now his kids won't, at least in California. Here they still
in California, yeah.
Costa Rica they still can, but they'll just shoot them.
Did you really hear that he was in Costa Rica or
no,
Brazil?
That was Fred that said that.
Oh. That was Fred that said that.
Oh. By the way, Rerun is
Fred
dead.
Kirsch.
I didn't know that.
Rerun is already dead? Oh.
According to VIP strippers.
I actually thought he was, but I wasn't positive.
Well,
that.
If he died again, then it would be...
Reared.
Rerun.
So,
who else?
I see what you did there.
No news coming out of the press conference?
Not really.
How about the kid from Old School?
No.
No?
He was asked...
Oh, yeah.
The kid from...
Oh. He's not old yet.
No, he's not that
old. No, he's not long for
no.
this world.
Quincy or whatever his name was. Was asked about the running game, specifically the last two games. That was a Mike Reese question. Home field advantage, what does it actually mean? Why does he like playing here? And
so he gets to play at home.
Mostly it was about the being able to communicate verbally as opposed to silently on the road because the crowd noise.
Unfortunately, the other team can do that too.
First thing he said was the shout out to the fans.
It's a PR move. That's being a smart guy.
I'm just relaying the facts.
All right.
That's all.
Well, it is. When it comes down to it, they complain that Victoria's Secret models get a louder cheer than the home team.
Was it a big media crowd today?
Bigger than I kind of expected.
Yeah.
There was. No.
More than Monday?
Never said that. I wasn't here Monday.
You weren't here Monday.
Mm-hmm. Was I here Monday?
Okay, so no, nothing, you were in the radio. Nothing
earth-shattering.
Nothing new.
There was no one here on Monday. No, there was very little.
Someone
media.
Asked about how things are going with Amendola, and he said, it kind of gave a interesting response. He kind of gave like a, it's still going on, and you know we're still working on that, and the things we still have to communicate about. I felt like when he was asked that same question about Welker early on, it was more of an enthusiastic like, yeah, we clicked right away, and you know there's still things to work on, obviously, but you know, he gave sort of a lukewarm response to that question, and that surprised me a little bit because I thought Amendola has been a fairly reliable player.
Yeah.
So the follow-up should have been, is that why you throw every pass to Edelman?
Yeah, not a single question about Edelman today.
You know, despite the fact that he's thrown like 60% of his completions to him in 3 weeks in a row.
The Bill O'Brien topic came up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one to come up. Yeah.
And he, that was a long time ago. That's not really in my thought process right now.
Wow.
Boy, apparently ass chins don't stick together.
Then somebody asked about McDaniels and the rumors about his being potentially courted by other teams, and he gave a similar response to what he said the other day on the radio about, you know,
he's my best friend.
He's one of my best buds, and I'm glad he's my coach. And
he doesn't yell at me.
No, he didn't say that. But, no, just all his responses were all very like,
he doesn't think my postseason performance is tailed off.
I would say this. He looked very tired. He looked like I know they just had practice, but he looked like a guy
New
who
Year's
was very
Eve. Maybe he was up partying.
New Year's Eve.
No, he was asked specifically
any
about that.
Any resolution?
And he said, no one asked that specifically.
But if he says, no, I just stayed at home, that could be anywhere in the world.
No, he said I was asleep. He didn't say he was at home. He just said I was
Teddy Bridgewater makes it official. By
nice.
Way.
He's coming out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Projected number one overall.
In the draft.
In
Andy.
The draft.
In the draft, Andy. Andy got all excited.
Right. Well, no, we're waiting for a superstar to come out. And somebody that we didn't already know was gay.
Who did you already think was?
Robin Roberts. Anyone who's ever come out. Brian Boitano.
Jonathan from Who's the Boss?
He didn't come out. He dove off. All right. Let's go to the phones. We got some people
Super.
Calling in. Olivier's calling in from Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Olivier.
Thank you. I'm shocked that you guys are working today, but I'm happy to hear your voices, and I wanted to wish you and your family health, lots of happiness, and lots of prosperity for 2014.
Thank you
for everything that you do for all of us. And I know it's a job, but you're providing a lot of warmth and a lot of great fun and also happiness to Patriots Nation. And I wanted to recognize that and let you know that you guys are doing a great job, and you all deserve fantastic raises.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That goes to
feedback
one Patriot
to,
Place, Foxborough, Mass. 02035 front office.
All donations.
Right, front office. Yeah. Just send those letters and cards. Yep.
Anyways, that's what I wanted to call you and wish you guys all the best for 2014 and your families, and I hope everything is going to go well.
All right.
Olivier, thanks. Before you go.
Yes.
Who, the question we've been asking each other, which team are you most afraid of?
You know, I'm looking at this from a pure business perspective. Forget about the game. I think the NFL wants to see Manning versus Brady in the NFC Championship, and therefore they will do everything in their power to twist the games to make sure it happens.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
And then what I think is going to happen is that the media and the NFL wants really Peyton Manning to win another one and to be the greatest of all time, and so they'll twist and work the game from a ref's perspective to throw the
out and out, just saying it's fixed.
It's fixed, you goof.
After what happened last year when we had an electrical issue in New Orleans.
You and Suggs been hanging out together.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know, I'm not afraid of any team, because I think that as you guys have mentioned before, we are capable of beating anyone. It's just that we need to start early, we need to start aggressively, and hopefully what's happened the last 2 weeks has really built some emotional and mental fortitude momentum for the team and the young guys, and I hope that they can capitalize on that. But when I see, you know, how tough the game was last week, but also I saw Brady missing a lot of targets, and I'm not sure if he's injured. I don't know if his hand is injured or if it was just like such a terrible condition to play in that, you know, any quarterback would have had, you know, some throwing issue. But then I look at the other quarterback from the Bills, that is it Lewis? You know, he had like a lot of long passes and long balls. So
yeah,
I'm not sure if Brady is dealing with something.
I'll say this though, Olivier. Yep. You're right. He was off target and has been all year. Before he even hurt his non-hurt hand.
Ever since they showed the hand a lot on CBS, it's been a topic of debate for me.
But, yeah, I mean, even before that, he was not having a great year.
But I will also say that game on Sunday was the closest I've ever seen Belichick or Brady or any using the weather as an excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, they all said that this was one of the most miserable games they've ever played in.
Well, hopefully for Brady, he plays in really, really cold conditions, so whatever pain he has in the hand is numbed, and hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
But you know, I just hope that we beat Peyton, because you know it's amazing that from a marketing and business perspective, like, the media is in love with that guy, and I know he's a great quarterback and so forth. But I always say, if Brady had the same opportunity to have the same weapon as Peyton has had in the last 2 years, what would he have done? And I think would have done more.
Well. He certainly showed it. Thanks, Olivier. Once he had the weapons, he exploded.
Why would the NFL, like he said, you know, the NFL wants it Brady Manning, and then they want Manning to win the Super Bowl so he can become the best ever, blah, blah, blah. Why would the NFL not want Brady to win the Super Bowl again and stamp himself as the best ever? I don't really buy it.
Get ready to surpass Montana.
I think everybody patted Brady offensively on the back in 07 every much as bit as they've been patting Manning on the back. I think what the NFL wants
more so because they were undefeated.
Stars and stats.
By the way,
and
Barbara
numbers.
Agrees with Olivier. She thinks
of course she
thing.
Does, because they're all out of their mind, Patriots Nation. But the bottom line is
Andy playing the role of Paul.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I can be objective. I think Brady is great. You hate Brady.
You would have just so you know, you would have just yelled at me and been very condescending to me. If I had said that to you.
And by the way, John of Pennsylvania, just on Twitter, Fat Albert passed away last night in his sleep.
Hey.
Let's go.
Dang, woman.
Let's go to Jason in Maine. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy
you
New
too.
Year.
Thanks. So if I understand the argument you guys were having earlier correctly, Paul thinks
Brady
that
stinks.
Brady is not as good anymore in the postseason as he was early on. And Andy thinks that Brady's probably just as good, only he has more support behind him on the teams in the earlier years than he does now. Do I have that right?
Seems pretty fair.
That's close enough. I think you were a little harsh on my side, but that's close enough.
Sorry, Paul.
That's close enough.
So
you got the gist.
This question, if you had a time machine and if you take the 2013 Tom Brady and throw him on the 2003 team, how do you think they would fare compared to how they actually did fare in the real 2003.
Well, I think they would win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do too.
So you think Tom Brady would still have the same performance then as he is now?
I think his performance might even have been better,
I do
based
too.
On the way he plays now.
So then how do you have the argument that Tom Brady is not as good now than he was back then?
I just said in the playoffs he's had some games that he hasn't played as well as he does in the regular season. In the regular season, there's no comparison between the Brady we see now and the Brady we saw in 2003. This is a much better quarterback. Would you not agree with that?
Absolutely.
I think he's played as well as he's ever played right now.
Not necessarily this season, as Eric pointed out, but absolutely,
right
I agree
he's
with you.
He's as good a quarterback right now.
Right now,
as he's ever
when
been.
He threw nine passes in the rain to his little receiver for 110 yards.
2007
he's
compared to 2001, to me.
He's a better quarterback as a mature player than he was when he in 2003.
Much
absolutely
better.
Sure.
So he's just not as good in the postseason, but he would have done.
He hasn't played as. I mean, do you think he's played better? I mean, you don't have to agree with me, Jason. Do you think he's played better in the postseason? than he has in the regular season? Do you think he's played as well in the postseason?
Well, no. You got to go postseason to postseason.
No. I'm talking about right now. Do you think he's played as well in the postseason as he has in the regular season? Last year. Do you think he played as well in the playoffs as he did in the regular season?
No.
Okay. I think he did in 2003. I think he played the same in the postseason as he did in the regular season that year.
Yeah, but then you also have to say, Paul, that regular season doesn't even compare to back then. He's been much better.
I agree.
You know, so, you know, the bar in the regular season has become so much higher that...
Yeah, but now you're making his point for him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he played as well.
He's questioning the delta, that term we like to throw around, the delta, from the regular season to the postseason.
I know, but you...
And back then you're saying the delta was zero. Now he's saying the delta is massive.
And I would even add, and again, Jason doesn't have to agree with me, and I don't want to speak for you, Jason, but I would also say that I don't think he's played as well in the playoffs consistently now as he did in 03. You know, whereas I think the regular season version of Brady is light years better than it was in 03.
Yeah, and you think it's maybe a mental thing of he thinks he has to be absolutely perfect now?
Maybe.
Whereas he didn't probably have to be as perfect and could just kind of manage the game and do what was...
I mean, you're making the case, Paul, that he's a Manning now. He chokes in the postseason.
I wouldn't go that strong.
Because Manning is great in the regular season, and you know the perception out there is when he gets to the postseason, he's not as good.
Yeah, but I don't think that Manning ever really had the ability to say that he's not a choker. I don't think that you ever have to look and say, well, he proved he could do it over this 5 or 6 year span the way Brady did. Like, I don't think Brady's choking. I just don't think he's playing as well. I think with Manning, I think there's some choke there.
I think Manning's problem is he came up against the Patriots too often.
Twice.
You know, well,
Brady also got to a couple of Super Bowls.
Brady, I mean,
right? Those twice would have given him three, just like Brady has three now.
No. He got knocked out of the playoffs twice by the Patriots. He knocked the Patriots out of the playoffs once.
Right.
And there's a lot of other years there.
And that one time he did, he got the Super Bowl.
But there's a lot of other years there, Fred. He's 8 times one and done. 8.
Right.
None of those, by the way, at the hands of the Patriots. So there's a lot of other losses in games that he was supposed to win.
It's true. Right.
Well,
Brady's been one and done, what, twice?
The Ravens and
the Jets.
09 and the Jets.
That's a big difference.
Thanks for the call, Jason. Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, y'all?
How you doing?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I got to ask you all a quick question. Before that, probably a team I would not want to face right now would be, of course, you know, getting on the road and going to Denver and just being away from home and looking at our record. At home and then away, I mean, that's just an obvious. And really just going on the road in general. It's not just them. I just want to play all my games as much as I can at home. And then, you know, if somebody's going to have to come up there, the teams are just so fluky. But I would have to say, I guess, the Chiefs or the Bengals. I'm still trying to decide between one of them. Like I said, both of them had their moments. But any tough defense and, you know, mediocre offense, I think that's kind of really to be the postseason. That's kind of beating us. Thing we have that when you have a good defense performance and then that kind of, you know, like don't make the mistake offense. So each one of those teams kind of scares me. But the question I was going to ask was, I read an article, I guess, based on the fact of, you know, Logan Ryan's emergence as a cornerback. And in my opinion, or in y'all's opinion, I want to hear y'all's, but would that make you all kind of play around with the contract of leave or maybe play around with the, you know, playing time or whatever with Arrington going forward since he's had such a good year? I just kind of wanted to see that. We had a similar thing with this with Dennett last year since he had such a good rookie season. But you know how that rookie season with the cornerbacks kind of fluctuate.
I see the progress of Dennett and Logan Ryan a little bit different, where – Dennard has kind of proved himself in spots where he can cover one-on-one. He can win a percentage of those one-on-one battles. Where Ryan's making his plays is sort of as, you know, somebody else tips the ball and he's in the right. What Ryan has shown me is quickness and hustle and, you know, a nose for the ball. But I haven't really seen him prove himself in one-on-one coverage yet.
Yeah, I think Dennard had a way better rookie year than Ryan.
Yeah.
Way better.
Even in a shorter amount of games.
Yeah, light years.
I mean,
I think he proved himself a competitive cover corner that we wanted to see the next year.
Right. I haven't seen that from Ryan. He's a ball hawk. He's a ball hawk based on other people's plays, you know?
He He puts himself in the right position.
Right.
So the fact that he's in the right position most of the time is encouraging.
But
yes.
It's different from
Denner. How do we know he's in the right position?
Right. He could be in the wrong position.
Like the guy from Miami who was in the wrong position but picked off Brady to win the game.
And you don't know where the ball's getting deflected.
The wrong place at the right time.
Right.
Right.
Just because you pick it off doesn't – I mean
– I think Logan Ryan's been fine as a rookie, but
you
I think
– who the best corner's been this
Denner
year?
Denner was far superior
Justin
as
Green.
A rookie.
In opportunities?
One for one.
One for one.
Melvin, does that make any sense to you or what?
Yeah. It does. I just – you know, I didn't want to put too much stock in the rookies. With that just being said, I just don't want to – I really feel like you paid Arrington all that money, and you know he had a good beginning of the season. But now the real Kyle Arrington is kind of showing his face. So with that being said, I'm just thinking of next year. You know, do you resign your All Pro cornerback and please?
Yeah,
I think you do.
At the very least, I would franchise him.
Yep.
And then I would still fairly high in the draft bring in some competition for Arrington and Ryan and Dennard. You know, to if nothing else, to create a little bit more depth when those inevitable injuries happen, because they are going to happen. And by the way, safety too. I would, you know, I look at that whole secondary and I would say I need to, you know, bring that up. But I'm happy with the guys they have, but I would want to bring in more guys to create the competition and depth.
Right. And one more thing I'm going to say, I'm going to let you out go, but I was cool with Gregory starting off his last, especially at the beginning of the year, I think I've seen worse safety. But these last couple of weeks, he's really getting on my nerves.
Yep.
Missing tackles.
He's been bad.
And yes, he's missing. It looks effortless. And even on that really bad play with the Ravens, nothing makes me more angry. Yeah. Andy, it's the lack of hustle. After you get beat, you jog towards him effortlessly.
Yeah.
That really makes me
mad. Now,
really
am I correct in that the last, since 3 weeks ago, he had some type of knee injury? Gregory?
Well, it was.
He got hurt. He hurt his knee against Baltimore.
In Baltimore?
Not an excuse to the Miami one.
No, okay. No. All right.
He needs to get out then. If it's
late, the Miami touchdown that he gave up.
And I want to say.
All right, thanks, Melvin.
I wanted to say the long play by Torrey Smith was before he got hurt, too, but it might not have been. I don't remember that for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
Because I think he played great beginning of the season, he hurt, and he hasn't been the same since he came back.
He's been terrible.
Yeah.
I actually think he's been, since he came back, what people wanted to paint him as in the offseason, which I didn't think he was.
Right.
But now he is.
Yeah, now he is.
So I'm confused.
Yeah. By the way, Barbara was saying when she agreed with Olivier about wishing us a Happy New Year. About...
thank you, Barbara. And you as well.
Yeah, thank you.
One quick thing to throw out. We don't even have to discuss, but how about these playoff games that are struggling to sell out?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Green Bay, 11,000 seats available. And
Cincinnati,
oh, really?
Green Bay.
Yep.
Because Carolina was bragging that they sold out in like 3 minutes.
They should.
They should do that, yeah.
But
Green Bay?
But I was really surprised.
It was 11,000 in Green Bay.
Wow.
Really?
That's very surprising. And
Cincinnati,
too?
Now, what do you
think
that is? Because Green Bay has been sold out for...
ever.
And they've also been talking about not necessarily the sellouts, but the attendance.
Right.
Has been down.
Well, but the league said
expectation.
Did you see
think they have a chance against the 49ers?
No, I don't necessarily mean Green Bay. I'm talking about around the league.
But the league said attendance was up almost 2%.
Right, because of your girl, Judy, tweeted something out saying, you know, regular season is one, you know, she's really shocked about the postseason situation with Green Bay, but also the attendance figures themselves as opposed to the sellout. Like they're announcing whatever the sellout thing is, but I'm not sure they're announcing what the other totals are.
Oh, so the league saying attendance was up 2% or 1.8%.
I don't know.
That was sold tickets and not...
I don't know. It may be. It may be on... I think what Judy's point was the actual people showing up to the game.
Well, that's all that matters.
And I don't know if that's what...
Because long-term,
I don't know if that's what the NFL is
that's
doing.
That's what tells you. If people stop going, well, they're going to stop buying. If they're not going,
eventually,
then it's not going to worth it to buy it.
Eventually, the attendance turns into sales.
Right.
It's too late to really get into this, but it's like the whole Super Bowl thing. I heard someone talking when I was driving here yesterday, I think, about how bad the weather could be. And you wonder, you know, let's say that it's not an extremely close game. Let's say it's a two-score game or something in the middle of the third quarter and it's just like a raving blizzard going on. Do you think that it's going to be like littered with empty seats?
Could.
Because the people aren't necessarily passionate fans of either team that go to the Super Bowl.
The only thing I will say
there's a lot
about
of people that are just kind of there.
I wouldn't even say either team. They're not even. I'm not even sure they're passionate fans.
Period.
The only thing I'll say about that is
because I think a neutral, passionate fan would stay and watch football and say,
"Yeah,
I'm watching a Super Bowl. Anything could happen. I could see."
And one reason why I think they might stay this particular year is because of that whole transit thing. They expect a lot of people because of all the things they're doing to come using the various shuttles and mass transit.
So
and if you don't have to drive, maybe you say, "Yeah, the hell with it. I'll stay."
What if it? Has the weather we're getting the next couple of days.
What's that going to do? What do you mean?
How will that affect attendance?
No, we're saying people leaving the game early. You know, if it's kind of a blowout or a two-score game. I think they might, in this particular game, stay because they're taking the bus or the train or whatever shuttles they have, and they don't have to worry about driving to get that early start.
And aren't those ridiculously expensive?
I think it's only $50, and you get this card that gets you back and forth anywhere you want to go for that week.
I thought it was $150.
Even if it's $150 for a week long thing,
and I didn't know it was week long. I thought it was day of game.
No. I think it's the whole week. You get this Super Bowl transit pass.
It's not ideal. As I said earlier, when they were shooting the pregame stuff at the Rose Bowl and they're sitting there in the nice sunny field and everything's perfectly green, that's what you should have. That's what you're looking for. You don't want a Super Bowl week in a blizzard.
One more call. This is James in Texas. Hey, what's up, James?
Hey, man. I got a question. I really feel that we need Nnamdi Asamoah. We need him to come out of retirement. I think he'll do so great in our secondary.
But the fact that he retired, doesn't that tell you what he thinks of his own abilities?
Yeah, but I think he could be a good Charles Woodson type.
Doesn't matter what you think. It's what he thinks.
I know it's
if he doesn't want to play, it's not worth talking about.
Yeah, but it could happen though.
How?
He can't play. I mean, it's clear. He went to Philadelphia, they got rid of him. He went to San Francisco, they got rid of him. He was free for a whole half a season, no one wanted him, and then he retired because he can't run anymore.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But and think about this. Like I just got to talk to my boy. What'd be better for a Patriots and the Seahawks Super Bowl in New York? It matters. It just matters.
I like that. I like it. I'm intrigued by it.
What matters?
Angle and everything.
But wait a minute. What matters?
Yeah, it just matters. It matters for the NFL. It looks better. You got a east. You got a southwest, deep west team. And you got the deepest north team in New York.
We've run the whole gamut. Now we've run the whole gamut. It's a fix for the Patriots to get there, and it's a fix for the Patriots not to get there.
I just think it's better. It's better for business.
What's your drug of choice?
I don't know why.
He didn't deny it.
All right. Thanks for closing out the show,
awesome
James.
Call, James. All Happy New Year.
You want to get high?
All right. That's going to be this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday at noon, to close out the week.
Holiday week be damned.
A weekend of – I'm really excited about these wild card games. I can't wait. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.